Next on News for the Soul, Eyes Wide Open with Janessa and SJ. We are multifaceted beings living in a multidimensional existence. We hold the power of perception, and this power alone paints our reality. Perception influences the things we see and the things we don't see. Together, we'll explore the mystical and the material, the metaphysical and the physical, the supernatural and the concrete, the seen and the unseen. Please welcome Janessa and SJ back to News for the Soul.
Hello, News for the Soul family. I'm Janessa Finley Ford. I'm an empowerment coach. I'm sure you guys are all familiar with me. If any of you are new to my world, then jump on my social media so you can check out what I'm all about. I'm on Facebook and Instagram, as is SJ, who is joining me here today.
Hey, everybody. I'm SJ. I'm a certified crystal healer and shamanic earth and energy medicine practitioner. Super happy to be here with everybody today. We usually start out with a funny story, and I can't help but still be laughing about Janessa's reel and the way we just filmed our promo video and our ad for our new course that's dropping. But I think Janessa should be the one to share her magical fashionista skills.
Oh, for sure. This also is on social media, so you guys can check that out if you want to see the whole real deal. But I was going to a lovely, and it was truly amazing, sound healing event after we got done recording. And so I wore the pants I wanted to wear to the event because the recording was just from the waist up. I had other clothes I wanted to wear for the recording. And typically, like, this is normal life after COVID, right? Like, everyone has their shirt on, and then who knows what party is happening below the desk. But I decided to take the party out of the house. And the best part of this really was seeing SJ's six-year-old. And I asked her if she liked my outfit, and she politely nodded her head yes, with her eyes kind of like, I don't think so, but I can't tell you. I'm just
like
gonna
a
nod.
Little
She's so sweet.
Yeah.
Yes. And then I said to her, are you going to wear something similar to school on Monday? And she shook her head no, very definitively, also still completely speechless. Like, Janessa, I love you. And I really, like, from the mouth of babes, if I open my mouth, it's not going to be good. So you know that you are dressed like not a normal person when a six-year-old and their wild and free spirit is like, I don't want any part of that, actually. You just go on ahead. So I coined it the, and I don't even know if this is a thing. I was going to look it up, Google it, Urban Dictionary, and I didn't, but I called it the fashion mullet. Business on top, party on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody needs a fashion mullet every once in a while.
So comfy. So comfy. So we're going to dive into a topic with you guys here this evening that is going to really, really benefit your relationships. So on the surface, the topic of abandonment might not sound like a good time, but we're going to make it a good time. And it's going to be well worth the endeavor because the philosophies of parenting, especially in the older generations, really set people up, by and large, to have experience and imprinted with abandonment issues to some regard. The, you know, lay the baby down and let them cry it out is not so much supported today, but definitely was back when. And I've even worked with people who, you know, it's really interesting when you work with people who even have memories from in utero, but I've worked with people who remember, like, just crying as a child, and it may have only been for 20 seconds. I mean, 20-second time span for a mom to, if they're cooking dinner or going to the bathroom, right, to make it to the baby, that's in distress and crying, and that in itself will imprint as an abandonment for some people. So, you know, it doesn't always have to be these big T traumas or big events that happen, you know, a death of a parent or, you know, something that's really, really traumatic, and it can still, for the sensitive soul and sensitive person, throw people into those abandonment patterns and relationship strife that come with it. What do you see in your work as far as contributors to abandonment well before the age of, you know, it's a relationship issue or a loss of a life or something such as that?
Yeah, I mean, I have seen it imprinted even within the womb. So sometimes even that will code, you know, maybe there was some strife between mom and dad and not necessarily knowing if they want the baby that's in utero. That can often code as abandonment. There's also, like, a lot of times that it comes up where it's actually lineage related, to where it's a long line of ancestral lineage related abandonment. You can see it typically play out in the tangible if there's an ancestral lineage link to it as well. Like, you know, once the kids hit 3 years old, mom leaves or dad leaves, and then you see it generation after generation after generation. And then even when you get to that, like, solid relationship where mom and dad stay together with the kid, sometimes even that baby or that individual, when they get older and can realize what's happening, will still code for abandonment from but from the ancestral lineage point of view. So sometimes it's just so far back even that it's not even in your this lifetime type of thing. So tons of ancestral lineage abandonment comes forward for me. Past life, of course, I work quite a bit in there. And there's past life links as well, which the interesting thing is even if people can code the big T abandonments in this life, oftentimes what I have found is that the root cause is still actually past life or ancestral related. So rather than working some of that, like, of course, you should work the trauma. I'm not saying don't work the trauma from this life, but to release those abandonment issues, oftentimes it's actually going back and working the root cause from either the past life abandonment issues coming forward or even the ancestral lineage stuff as well.
We're so interesting as humans, and it's so awesome to have these tools to clear out all of that.
Yeah, for sure. And from, like, a tool stance, like, what's kind of your go-to when working with abandonment? Is there a one-size-fits-all, or is it different?
Well, largely working it through the trauma approach, but sometimes it's as simple as timeline, just doing some timeline work and not having to dig into the specifics of that trauma, what the circumstances were, or the specific trauma outline with the layer of all of the emotions. So everyone's just so different. It really depends. But I would say those are the two most common approaches. And then building in the subconscious beliefs and working with, you know, the belief and the neural pathways that relationships are secure and stable, and asking the individual how they really want to feel in their relationships, and kind of taking an approach of reverse engineering. Wow, words are something today. Reverse engineering.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things for me with the abandonment energetics, I have found that from my angle and modalities, actually the shamanic drumming or the rattle has been one of the most effective treatments that I have had with patients going through that as well. So really hitting kind of that ancestral link, especially with the shamanic drumming. But it's almost like the frequency and vibration of those drums, and I don't know if I've talked about this much on the show, but each of the drums is made from a different type of animal hide. And they each have those individual characteristics from that specific animal that comes to the forefront. So with abandonment, it's interesting to me which drum works the best for the individual client. I have found elk has been really amazing when they're looking for that strength and move forward to release the abandonment. I love that energetics with a lot of the Enneagram 6s. That seems to be one of the favorite drums there. And then also deer, I would say, would be kind of next up for me from the shamanic drums, from the hide stance and the animal energetics. And deer just brings in so much of that self-compassion. And I mean, that's one aspect of abandonment that sometimes I think kind of gets lost in translation or maybe isn't at the forefront, is the different ways that we self-abandon. And really, when we're dealing with those self-abandonment energetics, that deer energy is beautiful to help bring in that compassion, to really acknowledge that that's what happened and also lean into forgiving ourselves too.
Yeah, self-abandonment is such a common response to abandonment. I feel like we talked about a lot of things where people might not connect in with the abandonment if it's coming from ancestors or past life links, or, you know, you experienced it when you were a baby. So it's just always been the way things have been. This isn't necessarily abandonment. I just don't easily trust people. So let's talk a little bit about how is it really presenting for people to connect and identify with, oh, this isn't just mistrust. There's something more underneath this. What do you see people really presenting with you behavior-wise or emotion-wise?
Ooh, behavior and emotion-wise. Emotion-wise, I would say a lot of detachment. Really kind of when I hear them say a lot, like, I just detach from reality, like I feel like I just need to zone out, or I just need to doom scroll through like the social medias to just detach from what's going on. I would say that is a like key indicator for me that we're probably dealing with some abandonment, perhaps attachment issues as well, but lots of abandonment energetics coming in there too. From an emotional stance, honestly, I see a lot of resentment come forward and also rage, too, that's kind of unidentified. And also, I can't pinpoint why I feel so much rage coming to the forefront. That, for me, is another one to really start looking at what we have going on from that abandonment stance as well. What do you see the most commonly?
I feel like maybe the beliefs are easier for me to tune into. People feeling like the people closest to them are suddenly going to leave them, kind of that consistent fear, even paranoia, come up in the belief of just not feeling like people like them, or they have to work really, really hard for approval. The fear of being just simply left or left alone, rejected, being replaced, being diminished. They can perceive themselves oftentimes as being very needy because they're wanting that approval from other people, and they're requiring approval from others to feel good or to feel secure. Being really sensitive to criticism, lower self-esteem usually is part of it, difficulty making friends or keeping friends. So oftentimes really people pleasers. And then also, you know, seeing the same people stay in relationships that are unhealthy or maybe not really that good for them because they would rather be in a relationship so that they can avoid being alone. So they'll stay in a relationship really at any cost so that they don't experience that separation, rejection, conflict. And they're typically usually very self-blaming. So if a relationship doesn't work out or isn't going well, they'll bear the burden or the responsibility largely.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely that, like, I was going to say that overcommitment to responsibility and even responsibilities that aren't necessarily even their own. Yeah, for sure. I can see that behavior coming forward. That's a good start. Here's a whole list of things.
Yeah, I just feel like it just started and kept coming. But it really, you know, I feel like boils down to essentially the person is making decisions, choices, priority more of the external people around them, not just the world around them, but those connections and relationships around them to have people around them so they're not alone.
Do you see harmonics come up with abandonment at all, like a typical like 3-year and then it happens again? Do you notice any harmonic impacts that come with abandonment energetics?
Not on a regular basis. Sometimes when I work timeline, though, it will test, you know, for instance, there was the session, the joint session that we did recently, and it wasn't necessarily the theme of abandonment, but the harmonic came up on the timeline every 10 years. So it was like 12, 22, 32, 42, and then it broke. It didn't continue after 42. So it was interesting to see that too, because typically when a harmonic is still in someone's timeline, it's active. So seeing that inactive harmonic was intriguing. But my point is that I'm sure it is there. It just doesn't necessarily present as the priority, as because there's just so much stuff we actually don't need to know when working with energy to get people relief that I'm not digging into. And I know that you work from that angle as well. I'm not digging into what is the story underlying this? What happened at these ages? Let's talk about it, you know, unless we really need to highlight something for them to connect to.
Yeah, same.
What about you?
I wondered if you had seen it. Yeah, that's where I was at too. That's why I wondered if you had seen the harmonics come up, because that last session was the only one that I had ever seen it even present as something that needed to be identified. So I wasn't sure if that was something coming forward from the modalities and energetics you work with or not, but that was literally the first time I had seen harmonics present as something that we really needed to actually look at. So no, not at all. That was new for me.
So you touched on rage earlier, and I'm going to loop back to that and talk about the 5 stages of abandonment really quick, because, you know, like stages of grief, like let's talk about all the stages of all the things so people can keep moving themselves forward through the process and the experience if they're actively in a situation of abandonment. So the first stage in abandonment is shattering, which is the impact of the loss. Initially, essentially, the lost trauma. And this tends to come with the belief, something along the lines of, I'll always be alone, I'm never heard, you know, not feeling significant. And how you can respond in this first stage of abandonment to move yourself through it is to really observe yourself. And of course, I would encourage people to take it a step further, do some light column activation, or perhaps you have a better suggestion, tapping, doing the things that are going to move the emotions through the nervous system so they don't get stuck. But really, we're looking at focusing on being present so that you can self-regulate, observing what sensations are happening in your physical body. What are you experiencing? And if you guys haven't heard our episodes on emotions, that would be a great topic to piggyback with this, because those negative emotions get a really bad rap when they're actually protecting us, helping us, doing something positive for us. So what would you suggest for that first initial stage to process the loss and to not get stuck in it and get stuck in that story that I'm just always going to be alone now or I'm not worthy, in those limiting beliefs that come with experiencing abandonment?
I honestly love ocean, Jasper, from the crystal stance to help us process through that. I mean, I think you guys have heard me say this a while or a couple of times at this point, but ocean Jasper is really like that grandmotherly hug of everything's going to be okay. It's not something that, you know, you just don't get stuck with ocean Jasper. It helps to be more fluid and help things to move. So I adore ocean Jasper. I also love working with the elements, though, too. So instead of doing something like light column activation, modifying it and doing water column activation, any time that we're getting kind of caught up in the story, I think water helps us to move out of the story and back into our bodies to where we can actually sense, feel, think, understand what emotions are actually occurring inside rather than getting stuck in our heads and really being caught up in the storyline where, you know, when you get caught in that story loop, like it's called a story loop for a reason, right? You just keep looping through it and you never really proceed forward. So really like working with that water to help just get back and centered into the body and allowing the emotions to come to the surface to where you can identify them and or release them as well. Those are probably my two go-tos would be the ocean jasper and then certainly the water energetics. Of course, if you have a shamanic drum or rattle, drumming or rattling is amazing for movement, for trying to get anything to process and move through. But I would say not everybody has those, right? But everybody can work with water energetics. And honestly, ocean jasper as well, which could be translated over to the shamanic drum with those absolute scalar waves and using those to pull in the energetics from the shamanic drums or the ocean jasper is one of the most beautiful techniques that Janessa has ever brought to the Stronger Together community and really bringing that to the forefront, that you don't have to own every single crystal or have it in your possession. You know, if you're traveling and you forgot your ocean jasper, it doesn't matter because you can just use those absolute scalar waves, that free energy, to pull in the energetics from whatever crystal or the shamanic drum that you're working with as well. But I do know a lot of people, especially if you're a 7 like me, an Enneagram 7, you want to have the thing. And I love the shamanic drumming and rattling to help process and move emotions. So I would say those are my three. Is that three things? Four things. Four main go-tos.
Perfect. It's a great start. The next stage is withdrawal. And this is where we really yearn for what's no longer there. And certainly at an older age in life, you can be consciously aware of what's happening with your body physically. And as the fight or flight hormones are released with that the emotions that kick in, you can have flu-like symptoms, feel nauseous, really high anxiety, nervousness, jumpiness from all of that cortisol hormone dump that happens. So yes, your emotions can physically make you sick. It doesn't always mean that you have caught something. Sometimes you've just caught some abandonment or heartache. So helpful things to do in this stage, tap, like I mentioned. I really love breath work. The focus is on grounding. Really grounding back in, acknowledging the pain to avoid the self-abandonment, which we mentioned earlier in the show. But if you're not acknowledging the emotions that you're experiencing, then you are actually self-abandoning and, you know, unintentionally playing that pattern forward with yourself. What do you suggest for grounding or for processing the physical withdrawal that's felt when abandonment happens and something is removed from another person's life?
Well, anytime we start talking fight, flight, or freeze from the withdrawal, right, we're talking root chakra. That's where we're going to look to help process that. So, of course, I'm going to go to crystals, right? Like, I love bloodstone, especially if what we're working with is ancestral energetics coming forward. So if you can identify, ooh, I feel the abandonment coming forward, and then you can look and see the same abandonment coming forward from your family lines, one or both of them, I would say bloodstone. I love that one. I also really love unakite, which is not one that's commonly used at the root chakra. It's usually more of a heart chakra crystal. But unakite is amazing for all things withdrawal. So when you really start to feel that, like almost, I can't catch my breath. I can't decide if I want to run or if I want to stay or if I want to just completely seclude. Unakite is amazing at adding in that grounding aspect of helping you center, but also helping you open your heart to possibilities. rather than shutting down. So if shutting down is something that is kind of common that you can see yourself do when you're kind of stuck in those really heavy energetics, Unakite is going to be your best friend. So honestly, crystals for me are where it's at when we're talking withdrawal and definitely fight, flight, or freeze. Elemental-wise, earth energy, I mean, anytime we need to ground, earth is going to be where it's at, unless you are one of those individuals whose vibe access, which is where you center, with somewhere on earth typically, because this is where we're all at. But if your vibe access is on a different planet or within the solar system somewhere else, which is a thing that's real and can happen, then grounding with that star energetics, if you don't actually know which planet you are from or which galaxy system even, you can just call in and modify again light column activation for star energy. So if you're like, ooh, Earth makes me even more crazy, like when I try to ground with Earth energy, I just get paranoid and I get more anxious and less and less and less grounded, try star energy and see how you fare with that one. I bet you'll be mind blown when you see that. And then combo, bonus, you then know that your vibe access is actually anchored not on Earth.
Fascinating. For me, the big takeaway with this in a, you know, Enneagram 1 practical and minimal philosophy is to move your body. When you're dealing with emotions, movement is going to help it move through your body. So when things kind of take your feet out from under you and you want to binge watch something on Netflix on the couch, go for a walk beforehand. So the third stage is internalizing it. And this is when we allow it to mean something about ourselves, which our brain does this just so naturally, so easily, without really any prompting. The prompting from us has to come on the other side of, oh, okay, I see that I am being the center of my own world right now, and I am, you know, using this as proof that I'm not important, I'm not good enough, I'm always going to be alone, I'm never going to have someone. And I love all the tools. I also love the feminine aspect of ourselves where we don't actually always have to fix something. And so leveraging for me, what you can do in this phase largely comes from remembering your truth very deliberately. You are not this experience. You are simply going through an experience. Your truth is that you're always connected. You're not separate from anything. You're not separate from love. Love is always around you. It's always available to you, so on and so forth. Like coming back to the really spiritual truth of your creation and being in that, letting that, you know, really permeate and embody it in your body, feel it in your cells, not just think the thought in your head, but really feel into, okay, if love is all around me and I am just slathered with love all the time from source and I am love because that's my being, how does that feel compared to, there's something wrong with me, I'm always going to be alone, I'm not going to have what I want, I'm clearly not good enough, I can't get it right. Allow yourself to live in that energy of your truth.
Yeah,
what
I
do you
love
suggest
that
for internalization?
Malachite, honestly, it's not the most fluid and gentle crystal ever from an energetic stance, but it just brings forward a lot of truth that sometimes we don't want to see. And with that, when you have the truth, you know what to do with it then. So sometimes what I've seen, especially with abandonment energies, is there's also something underneath or in combination with it too. So malachite is great to help lean into the I love me energy, I forgive me energy, but also tell me more about me energy. Give me more insight, more information. to be able to process it. So if you're looking for information from the releasing of the abandonment conditions that are going around, then Malachi is going to be where it's at. If you just want to center back into that space of love, unconditional love, then I love pink kunzite. So if you're not wanting more info or more feedback, go with pink kunzite from an energetic stance with the crystals. It's just beautiful to help you really have that self-compassion and see all of your virtues. And on the virtue topic, I love working with the virtues. It's one of my favorite techniques within energy medicine. So calling in, like, if you need to embody, encompass, and bring in the virtue of self-love, it's literally as simple as that. Hey, absolute scalar waves of grace, please bring to me the virtue of self-love. And then really allowing that to fully integrate, digest, become part of you, truly embody it, is one of the best techniques. I love virtues. You can literally just Google, look up a list of virtues, and start going through muscle testing, right? Like, we've talked about this a million times on the show. So I feel like at this time, if this is your first time hearing us, I get it. But otherwise, like, muscle testing, pendulum, that comes up every single show, and it's because it's that powerful, and it's something that literally everybody should know about. So I feel like we scream it from the mountaintops, and it's for a reason. It's because it's useful, and it's useful to everyone. And you won't hear me say universally useful very often, but that's truly what muscle testing and pendulum is. So then just going through that list of the virtues that you'd just Googled, like, which virtue do I need to help me move out of this pattern? And you can just muscle test or pendulum through it. It might be one. It might be 25. And it doesn't matter how many it is. You can work with all of them in one sitting as well.
I have never thought about Googling virtues. And we talked about virtues recently, earlier this week, or last week, the end of last week. It doesn't matter when, right? We were talking about virtues, and I was sitting there kind of stumped. I'm like, I wonder what virtues would be useful right now. Yeah, that's a great, easy tip. Google has all the answers, right? Not sarcastic at all. Okay, so stage four is rage. Anger and rage always tell you that there is an injustice happening in your sphere, in your body, in your mind, in the situation at play. So first of all, when you're angry, identifying the injustice that you're experiencing is incredibly powerful because it can be a little intoxicating to be angry or filled with rage. And sometimes we just want to be pissed. We just want to be pissed about the thing and just, I just want to live in the story because it's so wrong. I'm so angry. But if you can stay objective enough to identify the injustice, you're going to be able to move through that and give that rage and anger a purpose much, much, much quicker. And really what rage wants for us to do in this stage is to actually stabilize. So to come out of the discomfort, even though rage is not a super comfortable thing to be in, the purpose of it is that it wants you to come back to where you are comfortable. And the other thing to be aware of and really self-cognizant of is that rage can activate your self-sabotage programs, which is really what I'm talking about in being in that indulgent anger and rage where you just want to be angry. And we can blow situations up from anger. Anger can also be fuel. And this plays into personality and Enneagram, which we've talked about before for the gut points. The energy that fuels their personality type is anger. And each, the 8, 9, and 1 are the various different gut points on the Enneagram, and each one experiences that anger very differently. The 8 is more expressive with it, and you know that they're pissed, and the 9s, they want to keep the peace, so they bottle it up until they explode, and the 1s internalize it because they're bad if they're angry, and they really can harm themselves internally and otherwise through all of the anger that they hold within. Now, that's just from a personality standpoint, but everyone, regardless of your personality type, definitely becomes angry. and you likely know what your self-sabotage patterns are. Maybe it's being verbally explosive and just saying whatever is on your mind. Maybe you like to throw some things at the wall or, you know, punch a pillow. Hopefully it's a pillow, but maybe you have more of that external action activity with your anger. You know what your self-sabotage programs are when it comes to anger. So tuning into that so you don't allow it to carry you away. So my tips for what you can do when you're in the stage of abandonment with the rage is really assert yourself and stand up for yourself. Really, really, really digging into what is your truth that would make the situation be just. What can you do for yourself that you would feel that there has been a just ending to the situation that created the abandonment? And of course, this is more from the mindset standpoint. Of course, there's all the amazing metaphysical tools, and we'll let SJ fill you in on what more you can assert yourself or how you can assert yourself or get yourself balanced to be in a place where you're really feeling empowered and assertive.
Yeah, so much of that. I just want to say, too, like, rage and anger get such a bad rap, right? Like, man, it's so bad to feel or see these things. But, man, rage and anger are like your two ride-or-die homies that love you the most and know that you deserve so much better than what you're experiencing. So they're literally like the hype friends is what I think of rage and anger. They're the hype friends that rock up and are like, yeah, bleep that. That's not okay. This is not supposed to be happening. Like, get psyched up. And that's great, right? Like, it's fantastic to have the realization, but just like Janessa said, not letting it turn into the self-sabotage is real, which you think about your, like, besties. Sometimes, perhaps, they help you self-sabotage while they're also hyping you up, right? Like, you might send that crazy message that your best friend typed up for you to the douchebag that hurt your feelings, right? That's not always a good thing. That may not be the best path and is probably never the best path, typically. But, man, they are so indicative of the parts of you that love you so much that it's just infuriated for you. And they're the best indicators, I think. But maybe that's because they're so easy for me to feel as well. But coming into that space of really feeling that rage and anger, you can almost tip your neurology over the edge, too. It's almost like you tap it out to where then you have, again, can revert a little bit back into that withdrawal energy, too, when you come off of that adrenaline rush that rage and anger typically bring as well. So I just wanted to say that from a neurology stance, too, when you're hitting in that place and you can feel it, Numite is going to be your best friend with anything where we're talking about neurology. From a crystal stance, I love Numite. I also love lithium quartz. That combo together for anything genetic or neurological is amazing to lean into that for the metaphysical energetics too, for that support as well. And then, of course, rage and anger, our emotions, the water energy again to really help release the energetics around that to free yourself from the pattern. But more importantly than that, I love air ahead of it. Like, if you know that you are sitting in that rage and anger vibe, calling in air energy or doing air column as well is amazing to get information, to get the feedback. Like, what do I need to know about this? What do I need to acknowledge? Of course, muscle testing or pendulum-ing to see how many things we need to know or acknowledge is a really good head start so that you know you've gathered all of it. But air energy is amazing to bring information to you or from within you as well. So hitting that air column energetics is amazing to start, and then moving into water to help fully release it once you have the information and the feedback that you're wanting to.
Very cool. I love how you incorporate all of the different elements into column activation. I suppose I should call it, I've called it like column activation for like 5 years, so that just tends to roll off the tongue. But
it's really cool to see the advancement of the different modalities and combining them in the way that they work most powerfully for people. So our last stage of abandonment is lifting. And I feel like lifting is all about the lessons. So the weight lessens, L-E-S-S-E-N, as we collect the lessons, L-E-S-S-O-N-S. So a little play on words there. You're going to have the weight lesson as you collect the lessons. And this is really about what can you learn from it? And what is the new iteration of yourself as you move forward in life? And if you've had an abandonment from your childhood, if you think that you've just worked through the current abandonment, you're probably still going to have threads of energy open that they're going to get triggered in the future. And a big one that has historically been a trigger for me is simply not being acknowledged, not being acknowledged. It sounds so simple, right? Like if someone leaves me on red on purpose forever, I'll be like, what is happening? How can someone just not even take 2 seconds to hold their thumb on the screen and thumbs up the message? So a big part of the lifting, collecting the wisdom and the lessons that you've learned from it is not simply just from that one experience, but making sure that you're really getting into the root of the energetic thread so you don't become an abandonaholic.
So true. So true with that lifting energetics. What do you often find is the biggest hang-up with people trying to locate or release abandonment energetics? What do you find is the hardest thing to release?
Quickly scanning for a pattern, I feel like the trust. So I also feel as though, and you mentioned this earlier with the Enneagram 6, right? And I'm going to go into attachment style really quickly because all of this ties so closely together. So because of abandonment or attachment, how we connect with other individuals in relationship, there's different styles of attachment. And there is the anxious attachment style, and there's two others that really play into abandonment as well. But with the anxious attachment style specifically, the individual will latch on to others, developing these intensely close yet codependent relationships. And they'll perceive themselves as being needy, persistent. They have a really difficult time separating themselves from their partner in a healthy way. So space to them that would be healthy in an interdependent relationship will feel like abandonment to the anxious attachment style. They're very emotionally reactive. They are concerned that conflict of any kind equates to the fact that their partner is going to leave them. And it drives a lot of fear-based behavior for them. And I really feel as though that Enneagram 6, we've talked about on some episodes before with our personality structure and our Enneagram, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Are we predisposed to experience certain kinds of traumas in our life because of our personality type, and that's part of our greater, grander learning and earth school that we're experiencing here? Or is it the opposite? Like, which comes first? And I think that those two topics are just so interconnected. And as Enneagram 6s, trust is such a huge, huge, huge growth edge for them, both self-trust and trusting in others. And so I feel like the abandonment coupled with trust is the hardest thing to really get locked in for people, especially because, and I mean, there's abandonment across the board, but I feel as though the personality type that has a harder time releasing the abandonment is the Enneagram 6s. And so closely interwoven with that is that trust. And they just go so hand in hand of how can you have healthy connections and relationships with other people? And you don't trust yourself if you don't trust others.
Oh, man, so true. Are there any links that you see with the other Enneagram types around abandonment?
I guess I feel kind of like
the avoidant attachment I would see more commonly in the Enneagram 5s and maybe the Enneagram 9s as well. So the 5s are the intellectual. They're pretty withdrawn. They keep to themselves. They're very Switzerland, like they're just not impassioned one way or another, so they don't get pulled into conflict very often. But Enneagram 9s are conflict avoidance, and so the avoidant attachment style just really don't allow people to get too close to them. And they fear that commitment, and that drives the avoiding conflict, which causes them to shut down or leave. So we don't want to get too close, too committed. And if we're committed with someone, eventually there's going to be conflict, but I want to avoid the conflict. And if the conflict occurs, I'm just going to shut down or I'm going to leave. So I think I see the way that the abandonment plays out through the different attachment styles a little more consistently with the Enneagrams. You all heard and sensed my reservation with this question, right? Because we're all so different. So yes, there can be themes, but I'm not stereotyping anything here. And I just want to be really clear about that. That yes, patterns exist, but that doesn't mean that it's definitive. If you're an Enneagram 5, you're absolutely, you know, avoidant attachment. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think I was kind of going the route of, like, self-reflection just with the Enneagram 7 and how, like, when we start to feel that energetic of, like, oh, they might leave us, then I feel like it's almost a natural tactic for us to lean into, leave them first, was what I was self-reflecting on in mind of how it's almost like the double down on abandonment and do it first, energetics with the 7. And I say that just because that's what I lived in the past as well.
And there is an Enneagram story the 7s live in of running away, and that's very relevant. I think there are just these little bits and pieces of the different ways abandonment show up that we could dig into each Enneagram type and identify it. You know, the disorganized attachment style, they're really uncomfortable with intimacy and closeness, and they often lack empathy for others. So they can be actually inconsistent in their behavior and their responses, exhibiting anxious or avoidant type behaviors can make it be a little bit harder to identify. But if someone seems to have the majority of the styles, they're probably having the disorganized attachment style. So, you know, within that, I feel like there's a little bit of Enneagram 5 being uncomfortable with intimacy, but it's not really with the Enneagram 5s that they're uncomfortable with intimacy. It's just it takes so much resource that they don't have enough resources to be intimately connected with multiple individuals. And by intimate, I don't mean sexually. I just mean on that depth level connected with multiple people. Lacking empathy, I feel like I see that sometimes in Enneagram 7s, can see that sometimes in Enneagram 8s, who are just really focused on the doing, not so much how people are experiencing life or that things are hard for them. I also feel like the avoidant attachment could speak some to the Enneagram 3, that they don't, you know, take that mask off and really let other people see the true them, so they don't get as close to people. They don't allow people to get as close to them because they're not being completely authentic and they just don't feel comfortable in doing so. I feel like we could dive in here and pick out different attributes that would align with each Enneatype if we really wanted to dig into them.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me to see some of those themes that kind of universally play out for people, too. I mean, as you're talking through those, I can totally see how even those, like, six themes have played out for me as well. So
But I just think there's so much wisdom that the Enneagram holds, even when it's not even your Ennea type. Like, it's not the one you center on. Like, it's fascinating to me what I have garnered about myself, even from all of the other Ennea types as well.
I feel like the greatest advice to give people, just across the board, right? Like, I don't know what my partner's Enneagram type is. That sounds great, and I should look into it. That also sounds complicated, whatever, right? Like, let's just keep it really simple, direct and to the point. Like, we gave crystals, we gave mindset, we gave tapping, we gave breath work. Like, in the moment, though, are you going to just stop and go get crystals when you're having a conversation and the abandonment trauma gets triggered? Because these trauma triggers are so instantaneous. And the person goes into pushing you away and is actively pushing you away. Their reaction is an overreaction. It doesn't fit the situation. They're just hearing a certain portion of what you're seeing. Like, you're clearly seeing that there's an abandonment trauma actively triggered in them. Tell them that you're on the same team and tell them that you're not going anywhere.
I love that.
If you can give them that reinforcement in the moment, their nervous system is going to have to process. They're going to need some space, but their brain should hopefully be able to stop the warning sirens that are just screaming and blazing, danger, 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 right? We're on the same team. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, so powerful with that.
So we're moving quite close to the top of the hour already. So much good information and wisdom on abandonment, hopefully more than what you guys knew before the start of this episode. And if it's brought up your own forms of abandonment experiences, and you're ready to release them and be done with it, our next call for Stronger Together is tomorrow evening, which is going to be our first healing session of the month to unwind and unbind the energetics, the emotions, the experiences that have led to those active abandonment patterns being in your life. So if you're ready to have trust in your relationships, close connection with other individuals, being available for intimacy, not being intimidated or scared, like, you know that there's something more to be had in your relationships, and you want that security. You want the safety of a solid relationship where you don't have that fear and paranoia running in the back of your mind about if you don't contort yourself into this box or people please or do these things, or if you tell someone no, they're going to leave you or you're going to lose out on something. If you just want to be secure being yourself and to have the confidence that someone else is going to love you for who you are, we would love to have you in the Stronger Together community tomorrow evening to walk alongside you as you start writing a new story of the relationships you desire to have. SJ also mentioned earlier in the show that we're recording a fun ad for an upcoming event, for lack of a better word, that is going to launch next week. And it is Ignite Your Purpose, Inner Transformation for Global Impact. And in this 3-day event, we're really going to be working with your soul's purpose, activating that calling that you have within you, no matter what stage of it you are in. Maybe you're trying to figure out the whispers of your soul. Maybe you're actively pursuing your purpose and living your purpose, but you want to get a little bit clearer. You want to go into it a little bit deeper, because there's one thing that is so true about those of us who are bringing light to the world. As we begin to bring light, we always want to shine more light. We want to be our full radiant self. And so it is that rabbit hole that we tend to go down, and we keep going because as we grow, our purpose grows, and we know that we can have more impact the deeper we go into our purpose. So at any stage or phase that you are in with your purpose, we welcome you into this event where you're going to be able to activate your purpose. You're going to shed the generational and family obligations and shoulds and have-tos and ought-tos so that you can really take the wisdom of the people who have gone before you and be very clear on what has been placed divinely within you to bring to the world. And so we would love to have you. We have links up for that on Facebook and anywhere else, SJ, that I'm forgetting.
We have them up on Facebook, but also on the Thinkific website. Of course, you can find it there as well. So those are the two places that you will see them. And, of course, if you're part of our email group, you would be able to see it there as well.
Indeed. And I will have it up on my website, fiercelyradiantsoul.com, tomorrow morning. So you can find it there on the Eyes Wide Open page if you're interested. So we got to go. We're done. That's it. It's a wrap. I'll see you back here next week. And until then, keep your eyes wide open.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
The Soul begins its 27th year in January 2024. Find out our latest news at newsforthesoul.com.
And we are live. I have a special surprise for you today, this afternoon. We've got the next covered with something very special. Someone I haven't talked to in a lot of years, but did talk to several times over the years. In the early phases when we started doing energy work, energy healing on the air, we were blessed with the one and only founder of the Transference Healing Movement in Australia, Alexis Cartwright, who's been doing, you know, I think she's been out there doing her thing for about 30 years as well. Well, she's got some new stuff, new information. We're having a conversation to catch up today, and then a special live broadcast of a healing meditation. I remember I used to joke about needing a nap and a dribble bib after every healing process she did, because it is so deep. I would literally just go into an altered state even though I was on the air with her. So you're in for a treat. Alexis, welcome back.
Hi, Nicole. It's lovely to hear your voice.
It's so good. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm beside myself, literally, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to catching up, actually. I've been thinking about it, and you're right, it's been a while. It's I think it's been about 8 years since I've been on air with you.
Yeah,
oh, goodness,
like
I think it's about that amount of time.
Yeah.
And I think I did it over 2 years, is that right? I think we were interviewing different...
I think we had...
Yeah.
We had you on regularly, yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting time, but it's got a lot more interesting since then, hasn't it, really?
Oh.
It's been amazing.
So when you and I talked then, everything was sort of hypothetical and in the future, and, you know, and it was all open and positive and growth and we, and different now.
Yeah, it's interesting, Nicole, because, you know, as we know, we're going to lead up to what's actually been going on since I last, a lot of what I found that came into play is a lot of, because I'm a futuristic channeler, so I have a tendency to either see really deep into the body, right into beyond the cellular system and the etheric system, or into what we call the electromagnetic system, which is the light system of our body. But when I do that, it's like going beyond the reality that we know of today, third dimensional reality or even fifth dimensional reality. So it was almost like I was seeing a lot further into the future. You know what I mean? A lot of my channelings were talking about changes in the earth and in the body that would come about that I could see beginning from the genetic patterning of the body. So what I've actually seen, which has been pretty amazing over the last 7 or 8 years, a lot of my channelings that I have been doing since day dot actually coming alive before my very eyes. So for me, I feel just seeing that and understanding that and then teaching why that's happening instead of just predicting, you know what I mean? So I was in a position where I say, well, if you go back and you look at this channeling, this is why this is happening and this is what's going to happen for us, you know, for the earth and for us as we go through this, what I feel a very, very important transition, not only in this life, but lifetime, but I feel, when I say interdimensionally, I'm talking about an evolutional process that we're going through that's very, very, very instrumental for incredible changes that needed to be made that's so good for longevity, because we had got to such a place that our whole system was struggling, you know, and we were struggling,
yes,
I feel, as a society, you know, and lots of things had to be reevaluated and looked at and cleared for us to move forward and then integrate some incredible changes that would come from that. So for me, being in the energy and looking at the dynamics playing out, I actually felt that we could actually start dealing with some restrictions that we've been unable to tap into. So, yeah, that's something I'd like to talk about today. I mean, I know that you're sharing the channeling that I brought through after we've chatted today. And, you know, we'll probably get a bigger picture after we've had a chat as well when we listen to that channeling. So that'll bring a little bit more clarity, I guess, to what we're talking about. But, yeah, it's been an interesting journey.
Interesting. Yes, may we live in interesting times. The Chinese well, we do.
absolutely. And,
how would you summarize that transition between the last 8-10 years since we last talked? Because it's completely, our existence is completely different. So I have blocked off however much time you need here, so we'll just be in the flow in a moment.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, you know, as we talked about back in the day, you know, born psychic, it was like I looked through life with a different lens, basically, even as a child. So for me, it was about grounding and being conscious of what other people are seeing and navigating that to what I was actually seeing. So I've always had these different glasses of lenses on looking at the world. So I feel for me, and also a need to not only understand a lot spiritually about our existence, I guess, and can we heal ourselves and things like that, that a lot of ascended masters have always talked about over eons of time, but to actually understand more about who we are. And I think, you know, even in my late teens, early 20s, the only thing I could do was be a psychic reader. That's what, I never had a day job. So it was cultivating that gift with that reading and then learning through what I saw. But then I got guided to, because I've seen so much change, foreseeing is probably the word, so much change happening in the earth and in the human blueprint, I could actually see as we know, we're told by all spiritual masters that we are one with the universe. You know what I mean? We are created by the alchemical changes happening in the universe. And what I could actually foresee was deep changes in our DNA that was going to mutate itself over the upcoming 20, 30, 40 years on the planet. And these were changes to come, something that we'd never done before. As in our evolution, in our past lives, we come through and we incarnate and we continue to heal and evolve and explore and expand and enjoy what's possible through that, through life, you know, and evolution. But there is radical times when there's an acceleration of incredible transference or change for next step in evolution. And I feel that what I could foresee was the human DNA was going to mutate a genetic mutation process orchestrated by the changes that I see going on in the grid, the crystalline matrix system that creates the Earth and our universe, this incredible evolutional process that was beginning. And we were like being reborn through this process. And I developed this healing modality, transference healing, as an essential modality, not only healing, to orchestrate and support this incredible healing of these genetic weaknesses so that we could break through limitations from many incarnations, right? So it was really interesting back in, I think, 1999, when I wrote the first edition of Beyond Always book, I prophesied a lot of the changes that we see playing out now and why that would happen, because I actually started talking about this new light body system that was coming alive, which is basically enabling us to clear long-term genetic weaknesses. But I did say there would be a health crisis that would occur within humanity to actually bring us to our knees if we weren't accessing that awareness and really stepping into the potentiality of this incredible change and healing and growth. We would be triggered, and this is what happened. My prophecies around that health crisis came to light. But what I found is that when I looked at the DNA and what was actually happening through it, I knew that this was a vital part of healing long-term genetic weaknesses and enabling the DNA to mutate this virus, so there would be a virus, this mutation process. So we could actually clear and change in the way that we think about ourselves even, not even energetically and alchemically, but actually change our perception on self and our life individually, right? So we then heal even more so, and even as a community and a society and a whole humanity as a whole, because we're actually breaking through all of this fear and disconnection. And I did feel, like I always said back in the day, and it was even Beyond Always book 20 years ago, and then I added another chapter before COVID even hit, about 8 years ago, I think I added that chapter in the Beyond Always book, and I talked about how a new evolutional process was going to begin. It was like a, call it like a parallel reality, right? Like in science, they would call it the birthing of a new dimension, but it was actually a parallel reality. And I said that there would be a time when a lot of people would leave the planet at once, right? But they would be okay, because the ones that were leaving the planet to make that transition of growth and awareness and healing, they would go to a parallel reality where they thought they were actually still with us. And they were still connected into our reality, but they were healing in a more suspended space. So you could call it like going on a retreat, you know what I mean, where it's kind of all provided this environment for you to sit and reflect and to learn and to grow and be nurtured, right? But to still feel that awareness, well, I'm going to finish that retreat and this is where I'm going. So all of the people that I felt that really, really got sick very quickly and weren't in a position to have the opportunity to heal, whether it was age or circumstances or genetics, I felt that they would be suspended in this other reality. And as we evolved forward, and there's a big cleaning up going on in the planet and on the planet, even down to, you know, when we had to go into introspection for 2 years, ecology, the planet just did a big cleanup. Species and animals and beings, everything was actually rejuvenating while we went into introspection to really move forward. And I really do believe that that dimension is, those people were suspended. So it too, even though they went through that death and dying process, they were still healing, do you understand, and interacting with loved ones to make that big step forward in their next reincarnation. So you could say that a lot of my prophecies are sort of coming to light more and more, and I'm explaining the depths of what I saw and why, and giving a bigger picture in the book that I'm writing now. I don't know if you know, but Always has been my iconic book and has really got out there and really talked about this, but the book that I'm writing now is what I'm a much bigger picture on our, on this whole process and where we're going individually and in our whole change on the planet. And even how I saw this prophesized, this whole evolutionary process that I'm talking about in sacred texts, I can even go back and translate these texts that were written 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, certain sentences, and bringing it back to, well, this is what, why this is happening in the body. It's actually said here, this is all alchemy, you know. I believe the ancients really, you know, from ancient Egypt to the initial roots of religion that we know today, so the mystics knew of this time of evolution. I mean, it's in the building of the pyramids. It's everywhere around us. And this is why I even talk about those, you know, those attributes, you know, like sacred texts and sacred sites, how they're connected to certain astrological star systems and grids that knew that there would be an infusion of light. So at the very, like what I really bring it down to is that we're being touched by the light, this incredible pure energy that's birthing, that's here to heal us, you know, instead of getting in the fear and to look at the clearing and work with it. Have the tools through meditation and energy work and opening your awareness, because everybody's going to go through a shift of consciousness. The whole of the humanity will go through an awakening without a doubt because of this transition we're in.
Well, they really, so, a lot of, that's already started, hasn't it, so much?
Yeah, I think that, Nicole, that people, you know, look, for me, because I was in the energy and could see the energy working, the transference healing energy and the prophecies coming to light, just embodying those teachings, but to actually now see the outcome evolving from that point and not get into the fear of it. When you listen, guys, to the channeling that comes in at the end after we finish talking, you can see how this is an incredibly... a big year of manifestation and creation. And it really is about changing the real fundamental structure of our body and life. It begins a radical change, and it can be very, very positive and effective and incredibly enhanced if we can grab onto the energies running this year. So I'm not looking at it from the clearing perspective, because we're all going to feel triggers to clear fears still and keep moving forward. And I talk about that in the channeling and how we can do that. But we're actually creating really, really strong foundations now because of the clearing that we've been in, you know, over these last 4 years specifically. So, it's to me, if you're looking at it through these lenses or these eyes, there's so much we can learn about alchemy, about how our body is changing and how we can heal our body, or we can change literally our reality through a shift of perception just by opening up an awareness that we haven't been able to see before. And that just opens us up to receiving this light that's coming through. And I do go in, I'm not going to go into that today. I'm not going to get into the science of it all, but you know, I am quite fascinated how this light is creating an alchemical change in not only the codes in our blueprint and our planet, the grid of the planet, but it's actually how it's creating an alchemical response in our cellular system and our atoms and our genetics. That's what I'm looking at too as I see the body changing. You know what I mean? So... I think it's a really big opportunity for us to see a bigger picture and really, really awaken through our reconnection to spirit in this really core way that we're doing right now. And that's why all the strategies that we had lined up around us, like, you know, the medical system and where, you know, the corporations and the systems that were running the world, all of that lost its power. Do you understand when we were going through that?
Yes.
Because people used to come to me all the time because they knew I was psychic and I was developing transference healing because nothing else worked. Do you see? So it was like, so what I found, I was actually in a situation where everybody could see that nothing else was working in their life. It wasn't just people periodically coming all the time. It was the whole of humanity. And a lot of those structural systems had to be purified, and our emphasis on how to heal the self, because I've always said to people, I can help you, I can tap into the system and help you clear these symptoms and these weaknesses, and you're going to go through an awakening through this, right? Because you're changing this patterning, and you're clearing these fears because you're changing, right? But then all of a sudden to have all of humanity go into that point of receptivity to the divine, because all of those strategies were taken away.
Yeah.
How incredible was that? And what an incredible opportunity. Seriously. What a credible opportunity to get to the core of what really actually works and what can be done, you know?
Mm. And I feel like we're just starting to get into the depth of that. Like it's so, the contrast and the, this is why I was so excited about reconnecting with you and talking to you about, you know, filling in the blanks between our last chat, because like you said, the old things don't work, and people are really needing help and support in how to maneuver through these energies.
That's exactly right. And I think this is like if you think about even 30 years ago is when I started channeling this alchemy and knowledge through looking at the body in this way and developing a system that could help people. Because I was actually living the world that became, like these people were coming, how everybody felt during COVID. They were actually coming with symptoms. They didn't know what it was. There were symptoms. Doctors or specialists or psychics couldn't diagnose what it was. And it's because they were feeling the response of the alchemical changes through the DNA blueprint, right? So for me, to see the world get to that place of, like I said, all those strategies breaking down, everybody was feeling the fear of that little bit of a health crisis that people were feeling when they were coming to me. But what people didn't realize, because they're actually in an awakening. So how can we understand and really commit to or even comprehend the depths of what's possible if we don't surrender to that, if we just keep going with all these strategies and the fear mechanisms that pull us into that. So to me, I believe the more that people can connect to spirit through these different awarenesses coming to light and procedures and the way that they're living and working on themselves, it's going to be more effective than it ever was when they were caught up in these systems that play in their whole life. You could call it your past life. What you've actually done is gone into a rebirth from a past life. Not, you didn't have to go through the death and dying to do it. You see, all of that deprogramming and clearing that goes through our death and dying, and that's part of what I'm writing about as well, is that you're actually suspended in this reality that I talk about, and you clear all of these perceptions and you get all of these awarenesses and you heal and you reunite with loved ones in this hologram and you reincarnate, and all of that clearing has taken place. So of course you're going to come in with a different consciousness, and then you work through that level of evolution again, all right, and all the joys that come with that. But what we've actually done is I said in 1999 we went through a rebirth on the planet, our heart. We went into a deeper chamber of the heart, and that created an electromagnetic change in our body, our blueprint and our DNA, and I said it would then mutate. So from 1999 to 2019 was a mutation of us just decoding these long-term genetics and making a radical shift of consciousness. A radical shift of consciousness means you're awakening, you're connecting up directly to spirit, your intuition and your higher self is coming more into play. So then you're more open to more prana and light and energy come into your body. And anything that you do spiritually on top of that, that's just the start. I mean, that's what we didn't have before. Meditation or an energy that's very effective in your body just illuminates and it becomes more magnified. So you're not actually struggling with this more carbon-based body before light came in. So everything that you do, because you're clearing all these fears and you're connecting up the spirit more and you're in this awakening, everything you do that's constructive and reconnected to spirit is so much more powerful than it's ever been. because you're in what I call the birthing of your Adam Cadman body, your body of light and the embodiment of your higher self. So what I'm writing about is not only how this is this 1999 to 1929, and that's when COVID started, right? 2019, should I say, 2019 to 2029. So in 1999, I predicted from 1999 there would be a mutation in the global blueprint of humanity. Then in 1999, I saw this playing out with all of humanity. So that was COVID in this mutation process, and all these strategies broke down. Now what I'm predicting, each year I'm doing a channeling, and you'll be hearing the channeling for 2024, is from 1919 to 1929, we are completing this genetic mutation process. So when we get through this, your whole life, as you get through these upcoming years, not only are you going to be healing more than you've ever done, not only are you going to learning more how to work with yourself and empower yourself more than you've ever done, but you're also going to be in a different consciousness. This higher self is anchoring more, and these attributes of your mind are opening up. So you're absorbing the prana that spirit wants you to absorb, because what I'm predicting, there is a big alchemical change happening within what I call the fifth dimensions of the grid. That is beyond what we know of matter today, but it's forming, and it's going to come through weather changes. It's going to come through grid changes over the next 20 years, but for the next 6 years, we are going to be able to absorb it. So the analogy I use is, imagine coming, you're swimming under the water, right? And you feel the serenity and the pressure's off your body and you're in this stillness, and then you emerge. Just imagine yourself emerging and breathing a breath of fresh air. And when you breathe that air, you're coming out of the stillness of this incredible ocean, and then you're seeing the elements alive and the stars and the sun setting and the moon's rising. And you feel this incredible sense of tranquility and clarity. Well, that's how I see the changes happening in oneself over these next 4 to 5 years after the last 20 to 30 years. Mm. So this it's not like you're going to be thinking from the same patterning like you did 3 years ago. You're going to be able to make a shift of perception. You're going to be able to clear fear quickly. You're going to be able to move energy more effectively because you're going to know when you need to work with that energy. Do you understand? It's not the same mindset, and that's the fear that people are holding on to. You know, pat yourself on your back. You got through this, and you're changing your life for this, through this. You know what I mean? And you're awakening. And we don't need to be struggling. So that's the message I've given since day dot, when people would come with all these symptoms and fears and locked in that and blocks. Once they made that shift of energy, their perception would change, their symptoms would shift, and that fear would release, and then the genetics behind it were clear. So I say that a healing is not a healing. It's not a treatment. When you look at working with spirit and energy and light and awareness, a healing is an ascension process. With each healing, it's an opportunity for clearing and for a shift of consciousness that once you break through it, and it's very workable. I used to work with people with incredible diagnosis that was not right. It wasn't clear, even on the death and dying. It was not what it seemed. You know what I mean? But once they make that shift, people can't realize that what you feel tomorrow is not what you feel today. What you know tomorrow, it will not be the same. You're not going to have the same strategies playing out, the same fears. You're just not, because you're changing, you know, and you've got to go with that change. So when you listen to the channeling for the year, I talk about, well, I did bring out a series, actually. I brought it out specifically because of how I see the mind changing and our perception and our awareness and our healing process that comes from this. Because people talk about the higher self all the time, but if you ask them what the higher self is, they don't really understand what the higher self is, right, to the extent of what's possible. So I did a two-part series that's available on the I think it's the channeling tab of the Transparent Healing website, and it goes for about 3 hours over two 2 days. But it talks a lot about what the higher self is. So what we're actually doing for this awakening to happen, we're actually incorporating aspects of the higher self we've been trying to access. Now, this attributes of the higher self, we've only been able to access in our death and dying as we evolve beyond and back in again. But what I'm trying to say here, through this light body system, the death and dying and the healing is not going to be the same. So healing is much more rapid, and when we eventually go through the death and dying, it's more with ease and grace, and we're more connected to that transitional process of rebirth into a new reality without feeling, oh, this is the end, because it's actually not. Now, I'm not going to go too much into the death and dying today, but what I'm saying is that that our awareness and our way we think and feel, it's going to so radically change because we're awakening and embodying these attributes of the higher self that will come through more and more and more over the upcoming years, that you're going to look back, people are going to look back on themselves at the end of 2029. I mean, enjoy the journey. 2024 is going to be amazing because it's cube magic. I go into that with the channeling. Oh, my God, there's so much potential, but people, if we can shift our perception and go with the possibilities, we're not going to get stuck in the clearing. Do you see?
Thank God. This is all very good
I
news.
Know. I know. And I do know that the body is going to be a trigger for people. I've always said that. I don't. People see me as a healer. I don't see myself as a healer. I see I'm a spiritual person. I teach a lot about the meaning, you know, meaning of life and spirituality and philosophy and alchemy. But to me, healing is not what people think. Healing is a transition of our awakening process and possibility, right? There's no need for struggle and pain. We have the mechanisms and the abilities within us. All the masters of the past told us that. But really what we're doing now is really recognizing that, because we all did it through COVID.
Yeah. You know, I think one thing that I hear from a lot of people, and I experience myself as well, is the contrast. It was like this great divide that's been expanding over the last 3 years, and learning how to maneuver through it. You can turn things around in miraculously fast and exponentially, you know, huge, right? Manifesting wise, but you can also trip and fall into that giant crevasse and fall for, you know, quite a while. Like,
you're
tricky,
spot
you know?
On. You're spot on. I want to talk about that actually, because I didn't have a chance, time to say it in the channeling, but I say that exactly to the point. You're either going to birth things very quickly and it's just going to magnify, or you're going to get stuck in a rut because you can't make that shift, right? But that polarity is going to play out more. So when we get, what I talked about in the channeling is that when I used to see people coming to me, you can imagine yourself like, just say you're in a little bit of a health, something's going on in your health, right? So we got to get the tests, or we feel the symptoms, and we want to move the pain or the struggle and the symptoms that are coming up. And we feel generally in ourselves, don't we? Psychologically, physically, emotionally, and the whole process is not good. And even in our reality, we're struggling a little bit. I call it a block. So I believe that when we do a mutation and we're clearing a genetic memory-based pain, I call it, right? It's deep in our unconscious and it's in our blueprint. That triggers a flare-up of symptomatic stuff, right? Call it a diagnosis or a symptom of a genetic weakness or a dis-ease. Now, when that flare-up comes up is when we go into introspection, meaning like we did in COVID, we go internal and we start going, okay, I've got to deal with this. I've got to look at this. I need to detox, or I need a sacred space. I need to go and get diagnosis if I need to, or I need to get energy work, massage, whatever we need to do around that, right? But this is how people used to always come to me. They would always come to me in that sense of crisis. Now, what they found is when I did the clearing, they would go home, and over the next 2 weeks, they would clear those symptoms. They would clear, because it comes from the blueprint into the etheric body. The system starts adjusting. The mental faculties start to move and change. And when you unblock, everything unblocks in yourself and your reality. There's a shift of vibration. So all of a sudden, things open up, right? But that because we're having to clear deep genetic blocks right now more than ever before 1999, and we're in preparation for this alchemical change and this awakening, this block's going to come up quicker if we can't make the shift. Do you understand? But it's going to be healed quicker because we're going to have the changes in our blueprint and our patterning and our awareness to move it. So that means that you're not going to keep ingraining this genetics in your body like we have throughout evolution. There, what I've said, I did bring out, and I think it's accessible through the website as well, a channeling on COVID, what it really was about. And I talked about two different times of evolution, Atlantis and Lemuria. So not only is our blueprint changing our etheric body, but so is our electromagnetic. So this is the first time we've been clearing genetics in the moment and co-creating while still in a carbon body, while still on this earth in a body, because we're accelerating now. We're not meant to go back to that restriction ever in our life, ever. So that's what I look at personally. I think, okay, well, I cleared that. That's great. Then doorways open up in my life. Everything's moving. And then I go with that change and open up to new thoughts and new feelings and new ideas. And I move with that. And then when I get to another block, that's how I see it. Okay, this is a clearing now. I can move this more than I've ever been able to do. And this is the psychology behind it, because people will get pressured to make a shift. But if they can make the shift, they will make bigger and more incredible health changes and changes in the reality than they've ever been able to do. And that's the polarity I talk about on the planet. I try to really encourage the positive because I see the positive. But I do say to people, you will feel blocks in the body, health and reality to move this energy. And once you move it, oh my goodness, it's life-changing.
Wow. Well, yeah, understandably. Absolutely. No, the trick is not getting caught in the other, you know, old negative programming.
Exactly. Exactly. Two things I want to say there for people. This is why I did this Higher Self series. You really to stay open to a shift of thought and go with it. A shift of perception, I call it. When people have a shift of perception, it's a heart-based perception, meaning it's more heightened. It's more from your higher self. It's not caught up in the rational, ingrained thought patterns and fears. And it's like a breath of fresh air. Now, that in itself creates an alchemical change in your body because your heart chakra starts, the heart, the electromagnetic, it shifts the patterning in the body, right? Now, when we come out of that, we're coming and we're grounding into this new thought, new feeling, and this new vibration. What you're going to see is, remember I talked about this other dimension that people, when I saw all these people leaving the planet, and that's what happened with COVID, right? And they went to this other dimension. What I say to people now, there's like a two-dimensional change going on. There's all this polarity clearing. That's why all these conflict issues are resolving on the planet. All these things are coming to light. But also for us, we've got to get out of the block and move with the change, right? So we can assimilate this incredible rebirth and healing that's going on. But also what I've been saying to people is that look at the world as two-dimensional, meaning you look at everything. We have the winter and the solar solstice. We've got the electromagnetic, negative and positive electrons. The grid works in a positive and an anti-gravity force. Everything gets positive and negative, right? So think about it like two-dimensional right now. Okay, when I'm going to shift a block, I'm living in a dimension on Earth that's fifth dimensional, meaning there's so many hundreds and thousands of millions of people living in this dimension. But there's another dimension that's not fifth dimensional. It's still coming out of the third dimension, and they're the people that are struggling on the planet, and they're the people that are trying to make a shift. So imagine if the ones that keep moving forward can keep anchoring that light, do you think that that's not holding a space for everybody else around them? But the key is to hold that light. Do not get engaged. Like I said, I see what's going on in the struggle, but I'm not in it because I don't want to live in that reality. But I'm there to help change, right? So I always make sure that I keep my energy high, that I work on myself, that I go with a shift of perception. I run the energy on myself. And to me, it's transference healing. It's perfect. It's got everything that I need. and I make that shift and I'm utilizing every single minute of my life to actually learn and grow and heal and have a reality that I was born to have, right? Here, not in the future, not from the past, right now. I'm trying to create that magic. And this is a year of magic, believe it or not. Yes, there will be that polarity. But if you can go with this shift, you've got everything working for you. It's just us that has to change. But don't get caught up in that third dimensional matrix that's still on the planet. So you could say then if you... So a certain portion of the planet and humanity, quite a large portion, is still trying to come out of that matrix system of third dimension. So if you are mingling around people that are in that pain and struggle and can't make that shift, just make sure you keep your energy high. And when you come out of it, continue to work on yourself. And then place yourself in different environments where you can feed to yourself in nature or with other people and with practices and readings and all sorts of things that you can do that keeps feeding to that different reality that you're merging into. Remember, you're coming from the ocean into the, you know, coming up and you're breathing a breath of fresh air. It's a new reality, right?
Mm-hmm. I love that analogy. It feels like, you know, the contrast chaos came to a head right just before we switched into January. And January, February has been feeling like a real discipline, focus, preparation for something better.
Totally. That's what I found. It's funny you said that, Nicole. I found that for the very first time, the telling that people will be listening to after this is I actually did this channeling for 2024 in October 2023. That was because my schedule was so big at the end of the year. I had an event that I was teaching in Italy and then going back to Australia, and I was really busy. But it was the first time I'd ever done a channeling for the next year so early.
Mm.
So the energies hadn't even birthed. They start birthing. Around 3 months, they start really birthing, but we don't feel the extent of it until we come into the new year. That's like a healing process. Things happen internally until we birth it on a cellular level, and then we feel it in our body, right? But what I found really interesting is how big the energy was going to be. But I knew that from January to April, that there was actually going to be a real, what I call it, clearing or grading of old energies to actually, it's like you're planting a seed. So you've got to go out, you've got to, move the soil. You got to put the soil and the seed in, you're out in the elements, and you got to bring the water in. That's what we're doing. But do you think it's constructive? Absolutely, because without this birthing internally, we can't create, like the plant can't grow, right? So from April, and I found that I've been busier, working harder, but busier because I'm actually grading for such a big year. Like, and that's how people are going to be feeling, like you said. You actually... doing so much internal work, you're going to sit down and think sometimes, oh my God, I feel like exhausted today and I'm clearing so much.
Yep.
And what the heck was that engagement about? I didn't think what would, that's not, shift your perception, that came up because you're actually choosing not to feel that right now because you're creating something in yourself, you're birthing something new, and if you're feeling that way, it's because you're doing it, right? Because it's such a big year of change in the physical that we have to do the internal change for it to birth. And that's when I say to people, if you can put more energy into the internal work, everything externally will be so much easier. So everybody is feeling an alchemical change for the birthing of a shift of perception and awareness that has to be made within all of humanity. So I call it a radical time of awakening. Because people are going to start to really understand these concepts because they feel it. They're actually feeling it.
Yeah.
You know, they're embodying it. That's the difference. So I call it cube magic. There's a lot of if you want to know, everything that you need to know is going to be triggered for you to know if you need to know it to actually get to the possibilities of what's coming. So it can be cleared very, very quickly. A lot of magic.
You know, the word embodiment, that seems to be the theme of 2024.
Totally agree. It's spot on because people think they're doing something, and until you actually feel it and see the change in yourself, in your full being, that embodiment is priceless, because once you feel it and you're embodying it, you don't second guess anymore. You don't, like I say to people, you imagine this, Nicole, back in the day, I had people coming in this awakening, right? And it, having a block like this, whether it was cancer or it was just a nerve ending or it was whatever it was, or a spiritual crisis, they would come, right? But what they would do is, especially if they were clearing from like cancer or something like that, or even a block, a crisis of faith, I called it for them. Once they cleared that quite quickly, right, they would never go back. They would, their shift of perception was so clear. It would even clear family units, because they were so clear on what was right for them and what actually worked and how it worked and how better off they are, that there was no questioning. So you could say in a way that we are establishing a new belief system, a new faith, that we've not been able to, because that, with all that fear running and all that lack of awareness, we can't feel and embody our faith. Once you embody it through this awakening, everything becomes, like I said, your perception on things will not be the same. And people have got to keep remembering that tomorrow you're going to have a shift of perception. It's going to change the way you think. And your whole awareness and embodiment of this change changes your life. It just doesn't change a thought pattern. You know what I mean? It changes your whole, your principles even, what's important to you and where you, your energy, how it's creating things changes and much more magnified.
Not only this life, but all moving forward, I would think.
Totally. I mean, I believe that, you know, because I was channeling this before it all happened, but I was working with it before it happened. But now everybody's feeling it. And now I suppose transference healing's on the planet, so people can run that if they want to actually accelerate this possibility for themselves, because I foresaw it, right? But I believe all the alchemy that fascinates me is I can actually learn more now than ever, because it's right before my very eyes. It's actually happening within the body and within reality. And to me, that's exciting for me to grow through this. So I always see the positive. Do you see what I'm seeing? And I think humanity will start to see that, because they're going to feel that polarity. And they're going to say, look, I don't want to be in this perception. I want to get out of this. This is workable. Yeah. I can move forward now. They're going to say it instead of sitting
love
in it, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we've been feeling it. We've been going through it. You know, everything you're saying is spot on. I can't wait to hear the channeling for 2024. How long is the channeling itself?
It goes for about an hour and 10 minutes, I think it is.
Beautiful.
So there's always an energy, guys, when you're listening to it, your listeners. My intent is when I give a channeling is to really not only give some clarity, but there's an energy behind when I'm talking to you. Like, so I do feel like people go back and they listen to this channeling again, maybe in a few months' time, and then again, and because they feel the energy behind it, right? And that's actually helping them engage with that perception, engage with that if they're feeling. And you'll find that if you're not feeling well, if you listen to it, you'll find in a couple of days, most people feel I make a shift. Because it's actually, when you hear something that's clear or of truth or from a different, a heightened perspective, it changes you. It's just not ingrained in your mental plane, because there's a light behind it, right? So my intent is when I give the channeling, because I knew coming into 2024 that people would feel a pressure. I knew it. And that's why I think doing the channeling and really getting that clarity and releasing it early January, I knew that then I was in a position to help them with those feelings they would be feeling, some of them, you know?
Yeah.
And when they get that shift of perception, they're just going to engage with that new wave. I call it a new wave. And they're going to go with it. So listen back, guys. If you relate to what I'm saying, my intent is to help people have a clear perception as the year as you move through the year with some of these genetic triggers that are going to be a wonderful opportunity for healing and growth, and then to see how empowered you become because of that. And that's an embodiment process. But then to support people then to have a little bit of light, you know, the light running behind the channeling is just going to help them engage or embody through that shift of perception some alchemy. So that was the whole, that's the whole idea of a yearly channeling. It's not just that I'm prophesizing certain things. There is an alchemy running with it, you know. And that's mm-hmm. my intent when I do it, basically. So it's like a service
beautiful.
That I provide that opens people up to what I how I see things through my eyes. You know what I mean?
What we're going to do is keep this available on demand 24/7 throughout the year and beyond, and also replay it live periodically throughout 2024 as well.
I think that'll be great for the listeners too. And I, you know, I don't listen a lot back to my own work. Sometimes I get a hit to go back and listen, but I do sometimes get a hit to actually listen to my own channeling. I lay down, I resin the room, I spray, I lift the energy of the room so it feels light. Or put a candle on. I sit down like I'm in deep meditation, close my eyes, and I just listen to it. And I'm the one that's actually created the channeling, and I'm absorbing from my own voice. So it's like I'm getting a healing from myself and awareness. And even if you go to sleep, guys, you know, you might not, some people when they first listen to it, they might not be able to keep their eyes open all the way through, but that's okay. That's great because you're actually going through a clearing. You're going deep. Your subconscious can hear me. Actually, it's even more effective when it's from the subconscious.
Yes.
So at night, if you feel like you just want to shift some energy, you might want to put it on at night and go to sleep. But also some people, there's a lot to learn from it as well, like to get a perception of how things are happening through the year. So, you know, you will get to a stage where you'll want to listen to it all the way through just to get that bigger picture, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Into the left brain mode, yes.
Yeah.
I had some comment about nap and a dribble bib, though. The energy is powerful when it's coming through. We used to
stay
live, and then I'd have to actually speak on the air at the end, and I was unintelligible most times.
Yeah.
On that note, we should do your shameless self-promotion section now.
Yes.
Because I can do that every time. So
before we
load up the meditation, not meditation, I keep calling it a meditation, the channeling.
Yes.
What do we want to let listeners know about?
Okay, so just, I'm going off to do a mystery school overseas in the next few months, but in June I'll be back and I'll be doing a training online. So if anybody wants to learn from me how to run transference healing on yourself, to self-heal or to heal loved ones or work with loved ones, should I say, in the healing and awakening process. I've got a training online that begins on the 21st of June, so you can get online with me from anywhere in the world. And I just feel if you really enjoyed the channeling, I mean, the Beyond Doorways book is my iconic book. We've got a little deal at the moment for that if you're interested in purchasing that. And that will be, it's quite a heavy book, so that will be available by ebook in about 4 months' time. And the last thing is if you are wanting more information about certain channelings or getting more information on alchemy and teachings around alchemy and channelings, you can go onto the channeling tab of the website, and we've got hours and hours and hours of channelings that are available from chakra systems to the angelic plane, but it's all alchemy. There's always something that we're learning with each one. So there's different options there, but the training is the big one that I do for the year, where I do teach how to work with the body in this ascension process, basically.
And we've got links all over newsforthesoul.com, but what is your website for people listening now?
The website is transferencehealing.com.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it's not .com.au. That's an Australian thing, but that's American. Yeah. It's lovely to connect to you, Nicole. Thank you for me yapping
away.
God.
You know what? Anytime you have anything new coming through, you email me. We'll get you back on. You have an open, outstanding invitation. And, much love to you and your family. It's been so great to talk with you. And do it again.
Thank you, Nicole. Same here. It's been wonderful. Yes. Thank you. Same here on from this end. Blessings.
All right. And here we go for the next roughly hour and 10 minutes. The 2024 channeling from Alexis Cartwright, Transference Healing. Here we go.
Hello to you. It's lovely to connect with you. For those who don't know me, I'm Alexis Cartwright, the creator and founder of Transference Healing. So in this session, what I'm going to do is give you my perspective on how I see the energies running for 2024 to give you some kind of insight to what I see coming through for us. And I'll be working with looking at not only psychically tuning in and giving you a perspective on what I see happening, but also some information on how I see alchemical changes happening in our planet and the universe and in ourselves at this time and over the next 12 months. And also too, when I'm actually giving this channeling, I'm going to be referring back to certain elements like the numerology that I've been running for the years, the sphere from the Kabbalah, which I'll explain what that is as we go into that, the geometry that I see running, also the tarot and so forth, and certain astrological events that will occur that I'll reflect back on to give you some kind of insight to how I see this works with my channeling. So it just gives you another perspective to look at as we go through with the events that I see playing out. So we're moving from 2023 to 2024. And like I said in the 2023 channeling, that 2023 and 2024 is like an extension of events that begin in 2022 to 23 was bringing it through, and then 2023 began a whole transition process, and that would run for 2 years. So we're in the middle of what I call a transition, even though we're leaving 2023 to move into 2024. So it will benefit you a lot at some point if you resonate with this channeling to actually go back and listen to the previous channeling of 2023 to get that bigger picture again. So the first thing I want to talk about with 2024 is the numerology of the year. So again, we've got 2, 2, and 4. So the 2 and 2 brings in the cube, and then the 4 again brings in the cube. So there's a lot of manifestation and creation, and a lot of pull to move and co-create in a certain way, and that's what I'm going to be talking about today. So there's a lot of cube magic running throughout 2024, and cube represents the body, represents matter and the creation of new foundations. So it really is instrumental in the creation of form and reality and how we can co-create new enterprises, new aspects of self. We can also move forward and really create really, really big foundations in our self and life, and I want to talk about that. So it's a really positive energy running. I mean, you've got all that 2 and 4 that comes to an 8, which is infinity, so I'm going to explain what that means. But we're going to be pushed to really start anchoring and creating in a whole new way. And that's what I want to talk about today, because if we can master that, and we'll watch, that's what I'm going to talk about in regards to the channeling for the year, because if we can actually master that, we're going to live in a different reality. We're really going to co-create a really substantial change and formation in our reality. If we can't move with the energies coming through, we're going to feel struggle in our body. And what we're trying to change in our reality to push us forward. And that's what I want to talk about, how we can work with ourselves and the energy to really optimize this incredible time of possibility of healing and creation. And that's what I want to talk about as we go through and look at the year. I do also want to talk about the element at play this year is air. And that represents consciousness. So like I said last year, that the brain and the mental plane was going to go through a huge transformation in the way that we think and the way we run our consciousness, then determines the outcome of what's possible. And basically that's because of the spheres of the Kabbalah. When I go into that more, we're going from the sphere of Netzet, which is awakening consciousness from our heart and thinking more from our heart, which is changing the way we think, which I'm going to explain a little bit more as we go through the channeling. But as we move from the sphere of Netzet, 2023 and move into 2024, we're moving from the sphere that we identify with that's positioned in the right side of the Kabbalah tree of life. As we know, we go 10 spheres of the Kabbalah that orchestrates the consciousness of God to move through everything and keep co-creating everything in divine will. But also to what I do with these spheres is I tune into what sphere is running. So there's 10 spheres, and we've moved from optimizing, even though we work with all these spheres, the sphere of Netsec, and we're moving into the sphere of Hot throughout 2024. So the sphere of Netsec works with awakening the consciousness through your heart to open up new perceptions and new ways of thinking, which I'll talk about in a moment. And then the sphere of Hod then moves into our brain. So we're still grounding and we're still optimizing and we're still awakening attributes of the mind that's going to change us forever. It's going to change the way we think. It's going to change our reality. But we're going to get more ingrained energy running around the minds. We have to solidify and really bring into the foresight of our mind a lot more clarity and a lot more ability to see a bigger picture and move toward bigger or co-creating new changes in our life that are quite beyond where we've been able to access before, that new frontiers within the mind and how we're creating our reality through our mind. So I will explain how that's going to impact us psychologically and how we're going to utilize our mind in a new way. So I did talk a lot about this in 2023, but I did say we would be moving towards optimizing the changes in our mind and our mindset even more so in 2024. So I will go into the numerology in a moment to explain more about how that's going to run with the energy for the year. But also the tarot card that's going to be running this year is in the Higher Arcana. We have 22 tarot cards that are archetypal energies that we all move through to keep self-empowerment or empowering ourselves to consolidate our higher self more, to keep growing and evolving. But each year, a particular Higher Arcana card or two comes through for the year. And for this year coming, 2024, we have the Strength card. Now, the Strength card is a really unusual card in the Higher Arcana because it's the one card out of all of them that takes us into a place of internalization. So I'm going to talk about that and how that's going to impact us. So what it's basically saying is that the more we internalize and work on the elements I'm going to be talking about throughout this session or this channeling, the more then we're going to heal and create through that internalization and the shifts of perception and changes that we feel and see in our mind. So I will be going into that a little bit more as well. So I'm going to begin a little bit more with the cube magic running. So the two vibration, like I said, from 2020 to 2029, we're in a radical time of DNA mutation, and really that's when COVID hit. And as you know, what I've said in the channelings around COVID, that our DNA was going through a we were decoding and recoding distortions out of our genetic blueprint. We were compelled to offload some really deep trauma and pain that we've carried throughout incarnations, not just this incarnation, to really, really break through some limitations in an ingrained patterning, which is all painful issues and memories that's disempowered us, that's actually even created genetic diseases that we keep or have co-created throughout our evolution as part of clearing aspects of negative aspects of our lower I am. So the 2020 to 2029 is a vital time of clearing negative or painful issues that we've carried through, that's created physical pain, psychological pain, and that's disempowered our sense of self and reality. And as we mutate the DNA, we purify through this process, we're going to make a radical shift in consciousness. And that's what I want to talk about, not only personally, but globally, because it's going to change us forever. So that's what I'm going to go into more about, how we're going to do that. So the two vibration resonates on an archetypal level through the tarot, the High Priestess. So the High Priestess, in relationship to both men and women, is the card that represents our ability to optimize and utilize more of our higher self. And as we do that, we're awakening attributes of our sensory perception, extrasensory perception, our intuition, our clairvoyancy, our clairsense, our ability just to sense and see beyond the rational mind, and to utilize aspects of the mind, the all-seeing eye, the ability to see more, the ability to know more in the moment, just by utilizing our mind through the utilization of our higher self. But to do that, we need to go into divine will. We need to surrender to our higher self. And this has been what I've been talking about for 2 years prior. I keep mentioning that we're going to have to reset the way we think. Because what we're doing, as we go deeper into the heart over these 2 years, from 2023 to the end of 2025, we're going to be going more into a state of surrender and receptivity. So our upper central nervous system and our brain and our heart is going to function differently. And this is partly because our genetic codes are recoding, and we're clearing a lot of genetic weaknesses that's limited us. But as we go into the surrender and deeper into the heart and reconnect more through the upper nervous system to the brain, we're going to be able to hear and perceive our higher self that little bit more. And as we do that, we're going to be able to receive more energy. We're going to be able to get a bigger picture. We're going to move a lot of energy instead of just keep trying and trying and trying to make something happen. If we get a perception on how to move forward with events playing out through the higher self, it's just going to happen. So that's like a form of consciousness, higher consciousness birthing. But what's happened is that we've got to go deep into the heart. What's happened is that we've been playing out a lot of ingrained thoughts and trying to work through them, whereas now we're going to be compelled to go into introspection and stillness and receptivity. And that second chamber of the heart's opening up more, and our upper nervous system's going to run differently. Our genetics around that's going to change. And we're going to really clear a lot of old mental processes that's really, really traumatized us sometimes, and that we felt psychologically, emotionally unbalanced, overwhelmed, a lot of fear, confusion, fear of change, all of these attributes, this underlining trauma is releasing. But to be able to get to that level of clarity and insight for change to take place, it's because it's all going to happen through the changes in the way the mind works. But the more that we can do that and just tap into this, what I call new stream of consciousness, which I'll talk about in a moment, the more your life will change, the more your healing will take place. So it's a really, really incredible time of magic and creative energies running. But to be in sync with that creative energy, we have to really get to a place of utilizing more of our higher self. And I did bring out just recently a two-part series on the higher self, specifically because I could see through doing the series, I could help people understand this process more on how to utilize their higher self because of the energies that are running now. And that two-part series is available for you if you would like to go through and link on to the Transference Healing website, and you can download that series for 4 hours. It runs for over two different days. Okay, so let's go into the stream of consciousness. It's called perception and understanding. So perception and understanding is a heart-based consciousness, meaning we're going to perceive things differently. what happens with the sphere that's running, the sphere of hide, it connects us into our unconscious, our subconscious, and it starts bringing things to light. The first thing that starts doing is shifting the way we feel and think and gives us a broader perspective and see things differently, in a different point of view. But it's coming from a heart-based consciousness, so it's unfiltered. It doesn't have trauma connected to it. It doesn't have preconceived ideas and blocks in the mind. It actually opens us up. And through that perception and understanding, we connect more to our higher self and we start to think more intuitively. We start to get bigger pictures. It just comes into our mind's eye and it elevates us because we actually start to feel better. Oh my God, once I see the light, I feel great. It's just a sense of clarity that's so unconditional and so expansive and so empowering that it feels so beautiful. It's just that that's the gift. If we can shift our perception, and that's the key, because it's almost like we're going into a stream of consciousness. I call it like twilight consciousness. So in our mythology, they say that at sunset and sunrise is when the doorways open up between the worlds, because you're less connected to the conscious mind. And because of the moon coming out and or the sun and so forth, the moon and the sun, the transits of that at sunrise and sunset, we're more in that twilight, we're more expanded in our awareness and we have more light in our body. So we just had a critical time of opening ourselves up to light, different attributes of light. So that particular stream of consciousness is when your psyche and your intuition and your gifts of your higher self, which is your extrasensory perception, everything comes more alive. Now, in most cases, people can only do this when they get awareness in their sleep and their dream state, or when they're in deep meditation or they're channeling, they're altered and they're in an energy or ritual that lifts their vibration and opens them up. And then in that moment of spirituality or energy, they have this awareness. So the key is now we need to awaken that more within our day-to-day thinking process, that mindset. Yeah, a big one. But it's beautiful. This is where I live, guys. I love this consciousness. It's how I tap in and understand so much about myself and the universe is by tapping into my higher self and utilizing this consciousness in my conscious thought patterns. And this is what we're learning to do more and more and more, because it's going to break us out of preconceived ideas and limitations. It's going to open us up to find truth and awareness that's of higher consciousness. It's going to break us through a lot of fear and judgment or self-judgment. It's going to just open us up more. And with that clarity, that's when the power of the mind comes into play. The true power, the positivity, what's possible through it, actually then can come into play. So we are at a time of reset in the way that we think. And the key is introspection, and that's why the strength card has come up. So my advice to everybody, and I've said this in the two-part Higher Self series, and there's another series of main that extends beyond that, the three-part causal chakra series, because they go into this whole process of consciousness, is that if we can open up this perception and go into introspection and connect up more to this stream of consciousness, move with it, well then we're creating a reset button. Everything, I'm going to explain how the creation of our reality is going to amplify and change. So that's the key, guys, everyone, is if you can open that and have faith and trust. So self, you know, meditation, energy work, rituals, self-realization through yoga practices, things like rituals and spiritual practices are so important to us this year, because that internal process is as important as the way we think and we work with the mind to create it in our reality. And that's because the fear that's running this year, the pod, connects us to how energy runs and works. So I am going to talk about that a little bit more today as well in this session. So the way that I look at it and I explain it is that, and this is just an analogy to understand, is that when we're going to need to make this shift of perception in our awareness through introspection and through self-work, you know, meditation and running energy on ourselves, and what we do is transference healing and so forth, we're actually being able to connect more to ourselves and get the clarity, and the energy can move for things to create themselves through that shift of perception. But the way that I look at it is, if something's not working in my reality, I usually, and in most cases, people feel it in their body. They just don't feel well, or they feel suppression, or they feel a build-up of energy and an inability to express themselves or move energy in their body. And there's certain dynamics that play out because of that energy running in people's personal lives and relationships and environment. And it's just a block. That's what I call it, a block. So what I usually do is I ask my higher self, well, what do I need to know to unblock something within me for everything to move? So what I'm trying to say here is that a health crisis or an issue around health, usually if we can move the energy in ourselves, that distortion or weakness or dis-ease is reflected in our reality, in some aspect of our reality. So what I'm saying here is that if we can move that perception and get that clarity that we need, whatever suppression we're feeling in our body and consequently our reality moves and changes. Now that's the magic of the magician within. So you know, in the prayer, the new millennium I brought out through the channeling of Mother Mary, right at the end of the prayer I talk about embodied the magician within. Connect to your higher and future self. I am the light. So the magician within is really a power that we all have the potential to hold, the power of creation, the power of magic, the power of alchemy. But that ability comes through in the way that we run our consciousness. And if we're elevated, we're coming from a more pure heart and we're more clear. If we're not elevated, we're running our consciousness from fear and limitations of perception, old ingrained thoughts and programming and so forth, whether it comes from our family or our environment and just everything. That's where it's coming from. So it's like a breath of fresh air. You feel it when you, so some people can take, if we're being triggered to shift our perception and get some clarity and truth and utilize more of these aspects of the mind, we then go into introspection. Some people might take a day or maybe a few days when they go into introspection and they're doing their spiritual practice or alternative practice, and they make that shift of perception. It's like all compression of energy just shifts. The symptoms start to leave the body because cube represents the body, starts to leave our reality because cube represents our reality. And the cube represents what we're co-creating because of that change. Alchemy, guys, it's pure magic, it's pure creative energy. And we all have the spiritual birthright to embrace that. And to embrace that, it's about really, really shifting our vibration and shifting into higher consciousness. So, that will become more to the forefront. That's going to be a trigger for everybody. Now, I have noticed even now leading up to 2000 and into 2024, the last few months of 2023, I've seen some really big shifts and changes in people's lives. All of a sudden, they're changing their environment and lifestyle because of economic changes or work changes that are really, 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 really big steps in their life, or they actually had a health crisis. And they've completely freed themselves up in the way that they work and run their energy and make quite radical big changes very quickly once they got that clarity. So that's what you're going to feel. You're going to feel like I said, we're not going to go back into the same box we were living in before COVID and running our business and our energy and economically and where our lifestyle the way we did. We're going to improvise. We're going to move forward differently. But this year is really about that creation process of really building those new foundations through this divine will, this higher consciousness. So you will see that more and more happening in people's life, like a sudden sense of awareness and a lot of movement and change in that awareness. Like I said, I've seen it happening a lot around me quite a lot. And for myself too, I'm going through a big transformation change like everybody else because I'm getting clarity of my future, where I'm moving in the future, I'm instigating it now. With my future and higher self, I'm embodying it now rather than, you know, contemplating it. So that awareness of creation through the way the mind's functioning and the clarity that comes in. So that pressure build-up, because the heart represents the sphere of heart energy, and I will go and explain how that works a little bit more. So we are clearing a lot, and that shift of perception and that shift of change in our day-to-day life, you know, it's going to come more into play. And that's really, really important that we go with that, right? So I just want to explain a little bit more about the tarot. So like I said, we've got the two vibration running all through 2020, 2029. So we're all living that high priestess card, that we're embodying more of our higher self and utilizing this heightened perception and mindset in a whole new way. We're spiritually elevating and vibrationally elevating ourselves as our consciousness changes and our spiritual life and our physical life is coming more into a state of balance. But how our spiritual practices work for us and the power of the ritual and prayer will become more influential and even more energetically powerful when we're running this consciousness. So I believe there's more magic in the air, but that's just the power of the magician. You know what I mean? So it's really the magician is the power of this magic running, this creative magic, as we hold this the high priestess card, this higher consciousness, this consciousness that runs. And in the previous few years, and these cards are still running in the background, we've had the Tower, so we're going to get cathartic changes come about because of circumstances that come into play very quickly in our life. So there's a quickening of energy running. But also to the Emperor card, which is the groundwork that we're building. But most importantly, the Strength cards as well. We're going to move that energy through the Chariot and the Tower through higher consciousness. That's all going to come into play now as we change through internalization and create this shift of perception. Now, that's very difficult to understand that full sentence, but what I'm trying to say there is that as we embody this heightened perception and the higher self, there's going to be a lot of movement of energy, and we saw that come through the Chariot last year. And that movement of energy through that shift of perception and higher consciousness is going to create our reality. And the Strength card says that we're going to be compelled to go in and do our inner work. It's really important that we do that because that's where the change is going to take place first, within us, within our perception, as we connect to our higher self. And then the external will just adjust. So the actual card itself of the Strength card is an androgynous woman. She's more feminine, leaning over. She's in nature over a lion. The lion represents the ego and that sense of identity. And she's got nature around her, and that represents that when you're balanced in yourself and you connect into your higher self through introspection, the first thing that happens is your etheric system runs fluently. You're in what we call alpha consciousness or meditative conscious state, the subconscious. And your etheric system is running more fluently. So at that state of consciousness in your heart, in that altered state, you receive more prana from nature and from the universe. And that initiates a deep self-healing process. So what it says, through introspection and internalization, you're receptive to your higher self. Then your system starts to run differently. Your etheric system and your chakra system and your meridians become more fluent because the higher self can tell them how to open up and heal themselves and run more fluently. your conscious mind is more subdued and your higher self and your heightened perceptions and mindsets are open. So then you're healing yourself. And it's at that state of introspection and internalization, and this etheric system running, you're healing also psychologically and emotionally and spiritually. So inbuilt or genetic trauma in your emotional body and your mental body can begin to clear. Now that's what that card symbolizes. It's incredible because one card of the whole 22 higher arcana represents the importance of internalization and receptivity. That's where true healing comes into play, guys. So this is why when we run the energy or receive the energy transference healing, we go into the heart, we open up the heart, the three polarities of Christ procedure connects us to our higher self. And then all the technology and energy that's running through the transference healing can be absorbed more, and the elements and everything that you need from the universe can be filtered into your body in that state of being. So when we stop running the energy or receiving it, everything then solidifies and forms because we go into our heart and receptivity for that profound healing to take place. And then what we say in transference healing is then over the next few weeks that continues to solidify that healing in your body and that healing in your reality. So we're learning to do that more in the moment, everyone. We're actually learning through strength cards to master the magician within through the strength card. Receptivity in this way. Now it's very difficult for people to stop and go in. It's exceptionally difficult, but it's so important. So if we can move with our internal work, oh my goodness, anything's possible. Anything is possible. It's really important that we try to discern where we put our energy, and I'll go through that in a moment as well. So the element air is what 2024 resonates with because of the sphere running and so forth. And so we've got the element earth and we've got the element air. Earth with the cube and air. So air represents consciousness. So the instrumental process of healing will come through the way we're running our consciousness. The instrumental process of creation or how we're creating in our reality will come through the way we're running our consciousness. Air also represents wind. So wind to me, I love looking at cloud formations and the element wind. When I feel a breeze come through, a fresh breath, air or wind, I feel a vibration in my body. So wind and air represents consciousness and how we move our mindset and our consciousness. So if you're moving your mindset and your consciousness and your thought patterns in a really positive, uplifted way, well, there's a vibration that wind represents moves through your body, and that vibration clears your astral body. It clears toxicity in your body. Oxygen can move more through your body. You can oxidize your body. You can purify your blood, and you can also help with the heart. So these parts of the body, the heart, the respiratory, the brain, but also the ability through consciousness to move vibration in your body, which is kind of symbolized by the element air and wind, is exactly how healing takes place in us and creation through consciousness. So be aware that one positive thought pattern and heightened perception can move a lot of energy in your body for healing and in your reality. Now, if we're going through these negative thought patterns, limited perception, I say, ask and you will receive. I ask my higher self and you will receive the clarity and then you will create. But if you're coming from a place of limitation and perceptions and blocks, well, you're going to keep creating that until you can move beyond that. Okay, so it's almost like sinking in quicksand. But once you get that point of clarity. And the analogy that I use, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more, is that about 8 years ago, I saw some really powerful astrological events playing out, and I saw some really big changes happening in deeper dimensions of space and reality it was what I call six-dimensional matter. It was coming from the six-dimensional plane, and it was actually really pure matter forming beyond what science calls dark matter, beyond fifth-dimensional matter. And it was filtering through our grid, and it was starting a purification process, and this led up to COVID 2021, because what it was actually doing was beginning a purification process in our genetics so that we could open out, clear our blueprint more and absorb this more pure prana and clear some really long-term dis-ease in our mind, body, soul and spirit. So this pure prana, some would call it from a biblical perspective, Holy Spirit energy, is orchestrating. Like, imagine waves of an ocean. You've got a massive big wave moving all these other little waves onto the shoreline. Well, the big wave behind all the little waves is the Holy Spirit, or this pure prana triggering through the grid, the human blueprint, and all the little waves is all the ripples of vibrations and elements that are forming as we clear our blueprint to enable this more light to come into our body and more healing to take place. So my analogy was saying that I see a salmon swimming down the stream. The stream is the vibration that's coming, and it's intensifying now as we move through these few years. And with this stream of vibration, if we're going with the stream, we're in sync, we're clear, we're taking the right steps through clarity and making those changes independently with each step we take in ourself and reality. I mean, big decisions we're going to be making quite quickly with a different perspective. That's what we're going to be doing. Well, then everything's going to keep moving and moving and moving and creating. But if we're not, we're going to be like the salmon caught up in the side of the stream, up against the tweaks, and everything that's caught up there, and it's trying to free itself to move forward. And that freeing is unblocking. So when you get to a block and you unblock what I talked about, then you're going to see things moving very quickly again. All of a sudden, issues can be resolved quickly. All of a sudden, you can get clarity to change that situation in the moment. All of a sudden, you do know where you want to live, and you do know what you need to do to change, or you do know what study you can undertake. It's all of that, guys. It's just there. The magic's just going to keep running and running and running. Okay. Just very, one of the things that you will feel as people struggle with this perception, shift of perception, is you could get capacity, you can get quite emotionally and psychologically unbalanced, because that's that two energy. It keeps trying to get our emotions balanced with our mental plane, our body, with light. It's keep trying to keep us balanced. So be aware that if you're feeling unbalanced in your mind, psychologically, go into stillness. Ask your higher self to come through. See that your shift of perception will open up for you. And just do the work that you need to do internally to maintain balance as you go through that shift of consciousness. So go into meditation or run the energy in yourself or receive the energy to help you maintain that sense of balance as you make that shift. So there's going to be a lot of emphasis on the healing of the mind. I can't say it anymore, I just don't know. It's just everywhere. So the clarity will come, and with clarity there's a freeing up. There's a creative process running. The other symptoms that I see coming up a little bit too, because I'm going to go into the sphere of HOD in a moment. HOD works with the stomach, the solar plexus. And again, the stomach works with consciousness, power, and energy and ego. So again, it's like we could get little nauseous kind of feelings. So the procedure in transference healing, like the feeling vortex procedure or dragon power procedure, if you run the energy or receive it, would be very, very good, because you're just going to feel this churning up in the stomach area, the solar plexus area, because your energy is changing, and I'll explain that a little bit more. And it's affecting the hormones, the immune system, the blood pressure again. So certain parts of the body I've already talked about is coming up again with the sphere. So you will feel a little bit of sometimes nauseous will come through. Anxiety will build up because the neurological system is trying to adjust to the mind. Heart, brain, the immune system, purification of the blood. but also to anxiety and stress build up. It's really about finding that inner peace of mind. And the more we get out of our head and go into our heart and introspection, the more we clear that struggle in our mind. We go into a state of stillness, and that opens us up to higher self. And then we can shift our perception and this awareness, and all that anxiety is going to go. So it's almost like you're going to feel at different times like you've been, you got a charge of energy running through your nervous system, and you're feeling overwhelmed, and the buildup of anxiety and pressure and energy can feel a little bit nauseous. And then you're breaking through a block, and then all of a sudden the stillness will come through again, and your system will run differently once you've had that shift of perception and that awareness, and then things will start to create themselves again. And that's how I see it. Also, the sphere hod coming from neck to hod. Like I said, that's the sphere of the Tree of Life that's running this year, represents the standing of the 2 feet, the standing of new foundation and the sacrum. So what it's basically saying, everything that I've said with it, the sphere is saying, it's in tune and alignment with everything else, is that you're going to be infused with a lot of energy from source. And if you can still the mind in this way of thinking and being, energy is going to run through and elements really beautifully through your body and start resourcing you and healing genetic distortions. But if we can't unblock our perception and awareness on things and go into receptivity and just open ourselves up with expansion of the mind, well, then we're not going to receive that energy, and we're going to go on a little bit of a overload. So it's really important to be aware that this kind of trigger response is actually going to happen off and on to move us through a block. That's what I'm trying to say. So these are the symptoms I've seen moving through the body. So I just want to talk about the element air on a practical level as well, and what that's going to create as it moves through energetically on the planet. It actually oxygenizes us, as I said, and helps us with our consciousness. But it's going to compel us to also, again, renewable energy. An interest in climate change is still going to continue, and we're going to see events playing out like I really started seeing happening around 2 years ago with climate and the interest in climate change and renewable energy becoming more to the forefront, which it really has started to do. So you're going to feel, how can I say this? It's trying to, a massive influx of elements clashing together is the best way to explain it. So it's almost like you could, I saw fire, electromagnetic changes in the grid last year that I did say there would be more volcanic activity or kind of earthquake activity. But what we're going to find this year, we're going to have extremities of one or the other. We're going to feel either in some locations in the world with weather change, it's going to come quite unexpectedly. And it's going to be like fire, for example. If there's a lot of fires going on, there's going to be a turbulence of energy, a lot of wind around that fire. It's going to move a lot of elements really, really quickly around that. And the same with water. There could be a tsunami effect because of a grid through fire, electromagnetic shift in the grid, and that's going to, in the ocean, and that's going to build up energy, and then the turbulence of wind is going to pull it to the shorefront. Do you see what I mean? This compression, just like I said, we're unblocking compression in our body and being for more light and healing to take place, and freedom of mindset and limitations of perceptions that have ingrained and create anxiety and fear. We're going to see a big cleaning up of the astral field of the planet as we have these extremities of elements coming into play based on whether it's coming from fire with wind and or it's coming from earthquakes and water. You're just going to feel this acceleration of extremity in different places in the world, and that's already starting to play out. But that's a clearing up of the astral field of the body, just as we're clearing our subconscious and our suppressions and our the way that we've suppressed ourselves through fear and the inability to heal ourselves because we haven't been able to go into that place of receptivity. So there's a lot of emphasis on how energy is going to run. Okay, so the angel that's going to be really running this year, Archangel, as we know, there is unlimited amount of angels and a different hierarchy of angels, from the angels to the archangels to the Sephiroth, the highest plane of the angels. There's about 10 different planes of angels, millions and millions of angels within each plane. And then we have archetypal angels. So the archetypal angel that's coming through this year with an entourage of a huge amount of angels in alliance with this particular archangel is Archangel Michael. So it's about power and energy again. Now, self-empowerment or power comes from that ability to create through ease and grace. To create through ease and grace, we're utilizing more of our higher self. We're in a higher consciousness. We're in divine will. Energy is running fluently, and it's running with ease and grace. And that's the way we're working towards living. But to do that, we've got to clear up fears and mindsets and ingrained perceptions to actually open that up. Archangel Michael is saying, well, yes, everything, there's going to be a huge dynamics playing up around energy and righteousness around energy. You know, the dark with the light, the negative with the positive. I'll go through that a little bit more with an astrology running this year. But basically, Archangel Michael is a great protector and connects us to divine will. So there's going to be a clearing up of issues that have been like, you know, dynamics around people's belief systems and political, in the political arena, the humanitarian arena. There's going to be a clearing up of dynamics politically in the world, gently, quite a big purification. This is really important because we're actually, what we're doing is we're clearing a certain distortion of pain and distortion in the way that we live as a society. That's what we're actually doing through this incredible year. So beautiful prayers and blessings and rituals and energy work can help us feel purified and clear as this energy is running on the planet, so that we can move a lot of energy and move very quickly in ourselves and heal ourselves more quickly and move our reality a lot more quickly as well. So Archangel Michael's there to guide us and to help us move in this really constructive and positive way in the light and get out of a place of polarity and disruption and negativity, or, you know, issues that have really weighed us down. So it's a beautiful energy to be running. Divine intervention is really powerful. I'll explain that a little bit more as I move through it, because I believe that if we run this consciousness, spirit will prevail. Spirit will come through. And I say, never perceive something. It's always bigger than what you think. I stay open through my perception to see the bigger picture. Then I take the steps in my day-to-day life, what spirit is guiding me on my higher self, and then it just happens. But this is the magic that's going to run. So that shift of perception is important, but the power of meditation and prayer and energy work is amplified this year. So if you are in sync with our higher self and we're doing our practices, it's going to have much more effective result, much more effectively, fluently and powerfully. So divine intervention. So ask your spirit guides, ask your higher self to come through, ask the elemental beings to come in if you're nurturing your garden or your body. I mean, just be open to divine intervention, to God, the divine, everything. Stay open. The more open you are, the more it's going to come through. Just like as your body becomes receptive and open, your mind, the magic's going to happen. That is the key, everyone, is that receptivity to the divine. It's so important this year. Okay. Now, there is an interesting, as we know, there's a lot of astrological events that run throughout the year. But what really tuned me in was the Jupiter entering Gemini this year, which occurs around March the 25th, 2024, meaning this year, 2024, to June the 9th, 2025. So this over 12-month transition is really, really emphasizing everything that I've been saying, because the Gemini is all about balance in the mind, communication, interaction, really staying open to see different perceptions of things, really staying open to educate ourselves in new ways, and so forth. And Jupiter is spiritual and personal expansion. So Jupiter keeps influencing us to evolve and to heighten our vibration, to expand, to come into a place of collective oneness with the divine, to open up even our spiritual gifts and powers. Everything's about expansion. And Gemini brings through the incredible fluency of the mind in a really... So if we're not moving with this Gemini, Jupiter-Gemini influence over the 12 months, if we can't expand our mind, we're really going to feel the influx of struggle through that inability to expand our mind. And so it's going to encourage us to look at both sides of everything, to really come from a place of, away from a place of hate or anger, and come into a place of different perception on things and more balanced in our perception. So the analogy that I always use and have done in this series that I've talked to you about, the Higher Self series and the three-part Course of Chakra series, and I even say it in my channelings of the year and my training, is that think about this analogy of the mind, is that you have a seesaw in a playground. You've got a child on one end and a child on the other, and if they're on that seesaw, they're just facing each other, aren't they? And they're knocking the ground, they're trying to balance the energies with their weight. Imagine that as energy. Then you imagine somebody standing in the center of the seesaw where they're not jugging from one side to the other. And when they stand there, they see a much bigger picture, don't they? They see what's beyond the two people sitting at the end. They see the whole park, the forest extending beyond the park. They see everything. And they're much more balanced and fluent in their energy. Everything's not chugging along. Well, that's the analogy that I'm using, that if we can maintain this balance, and with this even influence of Jupiter, which is going to keep shifting us and lifting our vibration or compelling us to see a bigger picture, Gemini is then coming in and say, well, you know, stay balanced internally, commune with others, come from a different perspective. Don't get blocked from old perceptions of things. Stay open and come from higher consciousness. So we're going to see a lot of dynamics playing out in the world, and we've already begun to see this happening. Just recently, with the referendum in Australia, with the Aboriginal people trying to find a voice, it's taking us from a place of understanding the dynamics around culture and communities coming together to find ways to unify. And also we've seen it, you know, with the war that's come out in the Middle East as well. I mean, it's all part of, and the wars that are at play on the planet. We're really being compelled to come out of a place of judgment, to actually re-educate ourselves and really, really work towards personally and within smaller communities and then the community of our whole civilization to break some of the segregation, you know what I mean, and to communicate. So communication is very important. So I did say last year, and I see it this year, dynamics around social media, even everything around intellectual copyright issues, to communication, to social media, to all sorts of dynamics around that, it's going to go through refinement, because we're really being compelled to not come from a place of ignorance, I guess is what I'm trying to say, or from pain, but to actually shift into higher perception and come into a place of community, love and unconditional love, you know what I mean? So debates will come more into play. Be really careful to where you put your energy and what you listen to and how you exchange your communication with others. And if you're in sync with the stream of consciousness internally and with the what's running through technology in the world, you know, social media and communication and reading and so forth, if you're in sync with that, you're going to keep elevating your vibration. You're going to keep expanding through that Jupiter influence and that Gemini. But if we can't do that, that anxiety will continue to build and our low vibration will really struggle. And if you're in a lower vibration, you're not getting the prana that you need. You're not creating the changes that are of your higher self. You're not getting out of ruts, and you're not getting moving beyond limitations, or you're not accessing the full potential of what's possible in the moment. So, you know, all of that is really, really important. So I did say last year community and food and dynamics around resourcing, rejuvenating was an issue. Well, I'm taking it to a whole other plane. The community is the building to bigger communities around the world that have belief systems that they're trying to figure out, you know, and getting more and more political, I guess, in that perception and humanitarian. But we also, too, have us as a society coming together more. And this is what this energy is compelling us to do. So it's not like this is what the universe wants. So this is, do we not want to live in peace? Prosperity and harmony for us and all. So it's by helping us find a way to move beyond patterning and perceptions to find that. Okay. The Chinese horoscope that's running for the year is dragon. Or dragon. So here we have the same message again. Dragon in Chinese mythology symbolizes power, integrity, community, honor, and magic of manifestation. So it's a very, very instrument and abundance, good fortune and abundance. So this is, again, if we go through divine will and optimize this consciousness, we're going to create. There is going to be abundance, guys. But the thing is, the way that I see it, it's going to come from where you least, you don't expect it, because you're going to broaden your awareness, work differently or live differently. And then that abundance is going to come more into play. If you're in sync with your higher self, you're going to see this magic running, okay? And then when you come up to little blocks, it's because you're shifting gear again to move forward again. Work through that block, through that internalization, the magic will happen. Through energy work, through self-work, you know, it's really, really important this year, but it's, the magic will happen. I just want to mention one little thing before I go into the sphere of high. This is just taking it to another level again. We have lower, higher and upper chakras. That's what I teach in transference healing. We have the lower I am works with the three lower chakras, the root, navel and solar plexus. Then we move into the heart. The higher I am works with the throat, third eye and crown. That's optimized by the deeper chamber of the heart. Now, I've always educated people in this way, that the lower I am is not a negative thing. The lower I am is your sense of identity, and that's what the strength card with the lion represents, the tarot. The lion represents your ego. And if your ego is fluent and your I am is running more fluently, meaning you're living in this way that I'm talking about, you're accessing your higher self and the higher I am all the time. So you're constantly co-creating something that's bigger and better. That's your biggest potential in the now. So your lower, the lower I am, the negative aspect is pain ingrained within the lower I am that's restricting the higher I am to come into play. So imagine your ego and these genetic weaknesses clearing and purifying through the I am presence, your ego, to amplify more light, more of a state of presence, more power, more majesty, more energy. Well, that light then co-creates such a different reality. So your lower and higher self comes into play, and the more we master the lower self and we embody the I am presence, the more we're utilizing our higher self. So that's important, we understand that. But what's also happening, this is why I brought out the three-part causal chakra series. The causal chakra started to activate within the human blueprint about 2 or 3 years ago really strongly. And that began the influence of this change around the mind that I'm talking about because of this particular chakra, and it's the most misunderstood chakra on the planet, I believe. So the complexity of it is really instrumental for everything that I've been talking about. So these upper chakras is five of them that I talk about, which is the causal chakra that I just mentioned, the oversoul, the stellar gateway that works with our light body, the holy grail point that sits between the first and second chambers of the heart, and then the air star chakra beneath the feet. Now, what's actually happening as we're running this consciousness, we're embodying more of our higher self, right? And our I am presence. Our I am presence is coming out more in the world. Our ego is illuminating light at the right frequency. Our consciousness and being is illuminating more light and vibration. So we're in sync and absorbing whatever we need in the moment. On a much higher level, I'm just mentioning this today. I really do want to mention the prayer of the new millennium. I think it's going to be so effective for people to share that I've written. Channel through the consciousness of Mother Mary. A lot of the attributes of the words that it talks about is what we're trying to embody with this consciousness. Divine will, heightened perception, clarity, healing through that consciousness. The vibration behind the words will lift you and inspire you and move energy through you. And the words themselves will come into play. But what is behind all of this? Remember I talked about the Holy Spirit dark matter that was forming in the depths of space, moving through and purifying and enabling us to absorb more prana that is identified, I feel, spiritually as the Holy Spirit. What we're trying to do as a human civilization and individually is we're trying to access and evolve more about oversoul. So what we're going to find in the upcoming years leading up to 29 as the years shift in energy, this oversoul aspect will come more into play as we embody this consciousness. And what this means is that we have not been able to evolve our soul or oversoul in this way unless we collectively or intuitively and collectively made this shift to consciousness. We had a radical change of evolution of healing the soul and the way that we evolve our light body. I'm not going to go into too much today because it will complicate everything I'm talking about, but I've got information in Beyond Always book about the light body. The light body is your fifth dimensional blueprint. What we're trying to do is anchor more light and anchor our higher self on earth. All of this is to help us identify and work with that. So the light body, once it comes more fluently alive, mean we have more pure prana and light in our being, and we're running our consciousness through our higher self, we are going to live this co-creative process all the time. So we're coming out of struggle, we're coming out of pain, and we're living our golden age reality, right? So the oversoul aspect is the consolidation of our I am, our embodiment of our higher self. I just wanted to share that these upper chakras are going to come into play more within the etheric system. And that's just a bit of extra information there for you. Now, just to complete the channeling for the year, I just want to talk about the sphere of hybrid. So I take a lot into consideration. Like I said, with the spheres of the Kabbalah that are running each year, we have 10 spheres. But each year we optimize one more than the other, but all the others come into play to support everything that needs to happen as well. So what the key words around Hod is the mystery of form, and I just love that because, like I said, there's a lot of cube magic, which is creation, and we want it positive. If it's positive, we're healing and creating much more rapidly. If we're not being able to shift gear, move into this consciousness and receptivity and being, we're going to come across blocks to shift energy, to move everything. So that's the polarity playing out. So the mystery of form, meaning when we perceive something that's beyond anything we could perceive before, beyond the box, thinking outside the box, well then, cube magic comes in and co-creates a new reality, solidifies and forms it. It's incredible. I just love that terminology, the mystery of form. And just a little bit of interesting fact, you know, human evolution and consciousness evolved. So right back in the beginning of our prehistoric evolutional process, just imagine Homo sapiens living out in the elements, you know, the stars above us, the crystalline matter of the earth singing, you know, nature around us, the fire burning. how we actually became conscious and evolved in consciousness was our ability to tune into and feel the messages of spirit moving through the elements, feel the vibration within the prana of the elements, perceive something different because we're in a intuitive mindset, because we're altered looking at the sky and the astrological formation of the cosmos. All of that vibration, that perception, and that is the beginning of how we evolved in our consciousness. So think of that for a moment. And that's what introspection does when you reach to consciousness and you're going way beyond it again. And that's what we're doing when we're embodying our higher self and living in this new stream of consciousness. All the limitations of self-healing and self and energy and elements and perceptions and reality is going to go through an expansion. Try not to limit yourself and your perception of things and stay open. It's so important. The key word for the word, the sphere of Hod, is lender. So Netzach, with it last year, was victory and splendor. So we obtain victory through this awareness, splendor, beauty, reality, all comes into play. Hod has a lot to do with grounding or empowering us to live not only purified consciousness, but to also embrace universal principles like integrity and live by universal laws and unconditional love and attributes of love such as that. Psychologically, what we're doing is we're clearing self-worth issues that have disempowered us. We're clearing old mindsets, really, that have kept us, like, unable to maintain balance at certain times or shift our perception and release fear and pain and anger. Those sort of attributes is helping us clear all of that up to live in a state of more peace and magic, self and life. So, you know, it's bringing through, to me, an analogy is a breath of fresh air, like the release of really, really painful, I guess is the word, painful restrictions that we've felt in us subconsciously and consciously. So that's about what I see running for the year. I feel that the key for this magic to happen is to take the time to work on the self through the strength. And I do want to mention too that last year the chariot was running, so that's why energy is running the chariot. Chariot is a card in the higher arcana that represents the Merkaba. So I did say last year, and I did say in these theories, the higher self and the core chakra, and I work with a lot in the training, is that the Merkaba is starting to open. So that's what's moving a lot of energy. So I just want to just reaffirm that the energy is going to move, and if we can move in sync with it, we're going to create in the moment more than we've ever been able to do or heal. If we're feeling a compression of energy, it's going to have more of an impact before we can move it. Once we move it, it's going to shift everything so much quicker and better. So the awareness that this Merkaba is going to come more into play in the way that I explain it in the channelings that I do and in the training will help people understand that it's all divinely orchestrated. So the Merkaba is not something you can control. It's something that comes into play through your higher self to co-create everything that is to create itself through your higher self. It's not controlled by your mind. I just wanted to say that, everyone, before I finish. That just helps people understand that there's a divine alchemy and geometry running in our planet and bodies that's moving all of these restrictions, clearing the suppression and these distortions, and shifting us in vibration and into the light. it's a really big year of creating, I believe, more of our fullest potential at this point in our evolution. We're really pushing through to really ground and live through the will of the higher self. So with that, I give blessings to everybody. It's been lovely to connect to you, and I'm looking forward to connecting to you at some point throughout the year. Thank you.